And welcome once again to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Tonight we have episode 3 and a new player. And we have with us tonight, Abel is returning, as well as Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we have a new player, Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Good evening.
And Brian, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your character. It's assumed that all the players have ran into each other and have worked together at least once before. So anything that a person would know about you, having worked with you a few times.
Miles Cordell Wraithbone IV, MD, PhD, specially in psychology, research interests in interrogation methods, more recently predicting time horizons from past events, former government intelligence analyst.
What was the name again?
Miles Cordell Wraithbone.
Miles Cordell.
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 Wraithbone, yes.
Talkative twat.
Okay. Yes.
Evil.
Think evil overlord. He's probably genre savvy enough to actually have read the evil overlord list.
Let's get a description of what Miles looks like there.
Thin, gaunt, well-chiseled features. If you think of Prussian, that's what he looks like.
All right, Abel, why don't you tell us your character and describe her again?
Sure. I'll be portraying that sexy scion of sexy sexiness, Drina Erbauer. She's a well-seasoned woman happily married for 23 years, has 8 children, and is the co-owner and chief mechanic of Erbauer Motors. She's a wiry, woman, little dirt on the fingernails, doesn't mind some hard work. Usually wearing like a heavy leather work apron, has got some tools stuck in her belt, a wrench, pliers, and so on.
Okay, and Marcus?
I'll be playing Daniel Bishop. He's a average-looking guy, blonde hair. I think I said blue eyes one of these times. Can't remember. He's a guy who knows everyone and kind of just helps those who need help. It tends to be a mix of either has money, doesn't have money. He enjoys his money, but he also spreads it around to those who kind of need it.
Sounds good. Okay, Brian, do you have your characters, abilities, and stuff that we talked about before?
No, I haven't really had time to fool much with any of these actions, so I was going to do the simplified version.
Mm-hmm. Your characters, the basics of what we've worked out is up on the website. If you wanted to pull that up, we have 3 aspects for you and a bunch of skills that you are interested in.
All right,
and you can just kind of slot them in as we play.
All right. Would you mind shooting me the link?
Uh-huh. Give me just a second. I'll give you the direct link to your character. And tonight we are trying out for the first time Map Tools. It is another free virtual tabletop piece of software. And so far, it's quite interesting. It has lots of powerful features.
Yes.
We're not using a huge amount tonight, but will come in future plays. There you go, Brian. That's the link to your character.
What are we using to represent tokens?
Oh, I'm just going to drag them out to you when that comes up. Actually, I guess I'll do it now. Give you your basic ones.
Yeah.
Actually, here, let's do this. 1 second.
Mm-hmm. And
how many tokens does Drina start with? What's your refresh?
It's 4 right now.
Okay, if you left-click on your character, you'll see under notes I put down 4 tokens. What's Daniel's
4.
Refresh? Tokens, 4. Okay. And I don't believe Miles has bought any anything yet, so you're going to start off with 6.
Under what is it?
Oh, if you left-click on your token, double left-click, you'll bring up another menu, and under the first one, it should say notes.
Yep. Nothing there.
Oh, I didn't save it. Sorry, here. Tokens. And you said 4, right?
Yes.
There. Should be there now. I can actually automate this so that I can just make a macro button that will send and remove fate chips from you, but don't have that ready for tonight. One of the nifty things about this is it's got a pretty powerful scripting language that goes along with it.
I guess I'd have to learn it. That's no fun.
It's pretty simplistic.
Yes. And for the audience, if you hear anything like, that would be me playing with a double shot dart blaster from Nerf. Try and find it. It has real kind of shotgun shell type things that pop out, and it's just fun to play with.
He's testing out new toys. All right, guys.
And their toys.
Mm-hmm. All right. A month has passed since Daniel and Rina were last had a case with the policeman guilds. And today you find yourself in a factory looking at the mangled corpse of a man, at least you think it was a man by what's left of his body, in a white lab coat. He has been crunched in a machine that's used to fold metal to produce various parts for electric cars. The only thing you can really see out of him, if you imagine a couple of very large gears that are meshed together, his body has been pulled through. There are shreds of a lab coat. His shoes have been squirted off, and they're several feet behind him. Some broken spectacles on the floor, and a large amount of blood that has soaked the area. The three of you have just arrived on the scene. It is 6 o'clock in the a.m. when you were called. Factory has been shut down for the day. You're asked to investigate this strange occurrence.
Oh, just a one out of character question. What happened to the Kate Mater?
Oh, she may join us later. She called an hour and a half ago or so, saying that she was about 2 hours still traveling to get back from where she was for Thanksgiving. Yeah, depending on what she has to set up for food and whatnot, she may or may not be joining us tonight. But she definitely wants to play more, and we will see her next time, if not tonight.
No problem.
I'm not sure where Kaitanos is tonight. Perhaps he had festivities that took him out of town.
So, let's see. So, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, what about is the blood dried? Like, do you have any idea how long his body's been here?
Do you have any kind of medical knowledge?
Oh, bother. Why does this always have to happen so early in the morning? I'm going to stick my finger in the blood and see what the viscosity of it is.
Right. You just click your 4D fudge button there. And then if you want this to be your primary skill, you'll add 4 to it, or 3, or 2, or 1, depending on how primary the skill is to your character.
He's a medical doctor. It's got to be primary.
Okay. All right. So you have you rolled a 0, but you get a +4, which is a very good result. You time of death, you figure, would be around midnight, 1 o'clock, so about 5-6 hours ago.
Okay.
All right. Well, screw it. I'm not into the biological stuff. Unless I'm squeezing out another kid into the world. So, I'm going over the machine. I'm like, poking my head in, like, you know, putting my hand on parts. Are any of the belts or gears warm? Like, has it been well maintained? I'm smelling for oil, other stuff like that.
It's been well maintained, from actually the best you can tell. The machine was just turned off, right as you got the call to, meet here. And it had been grinding away at this body since apparently midnight, 1 o'clock this morning.
I'm going to check out the pockets of the lab coat because we always stuff what we're working on in our lab coats.
Well, that's disgusting.
It's what I do.
Okay, so
there's nothing in the lab coat other than a shredded ID, which you can just barely make out.
Well, he's playing with the body. I'm gonna look around.
Sure. There's three factory workers here. Well, they're journeymen or apprentice workers. This is, of course, the Transportation Guild's facility. This is where they pound out electric cars for the masses. Mm-hmm. The three men here were their early morning shift. Their duties include turning the machines on, the ones that need to be turned on. Some run 24/7, which this auto or the body press that you have found the victim in is one that runs 24 hours because once it's turned off, it takes about 10 hours for it to restart. So they just run it constantly.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are the non-technical people. They just kind of do all the prep work, getting the lines ready for the masters and journeymen when they come in.
Does anyone hang out here during the night? Is there like a night shift at all?
There's a night watchman, a night guard. He's the one that actually notified the guilds, and they, of course, got in contact with you. He's still here.
Whom do we have looking at the ID?
His name was Enos Marks.
Enos Marks.
Mm-hmm. And everyone has some understanding of how the guild structure works. He would be a master craftsman in, you know, kind of today's, he would be like a mid-level management, maybe a little bit better than that, maybe a district manager of sorts.
So let us ask the workers if they know of anyone who would like to see Mr. Marks meet an unfortunate end.
No, let's not do that, I say, taking him away. Let me do the talking to these guys. What was this guy's name?
The victim is apparently Enos Marks, although you cannot, there's not much of a face left to match with the picture that's on the ID.
Right. These are my people. Doctor.
Fine. You talk to them.
Right. So I go over to the I go over to the guys waiting. Sorry about that. You know, you guys are probably going to lose a whole day here. You know, take the whole shift having to restart this big boy right here.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a bit of production loss today. Apparently, the leader of the three stands forward, introduced himself as Stan. Stan says, yeah, we're probably going to lose an entire day worth of production. The higher-ups aren't going to like that, but I think they'll like the death of Mr. Marks even worse.
Yeah, that's really sad. You know, what kind of car do you got? I have a Hughes Faraday 1888. I mean, that was a good year. Solid little car. It's done good for me.
I take the bus. He looks kind of forlornly.
So I'm going to try and, schmooze these guys a bit. Like, well, you know, just say, yeah, you know, I'm one of you. I turned a wrench. What do you know about this guy, Enos Marks? Was he a good guy? Is he a good boss to work for?
Okay. You can roll if you want, or you can take the base level of what your skill is, since they are more than happy to cooperate. If you roll and get better, you might be able to find something out that they don't slip up on, but they right. know more than actually what they're telling, just and not know it.
I'm gonna roll. Hold on. So all I'm rolling rapport.
Okay.
This is personal 101. And okay.
So what's your total?
So that's a 4 total. So that's great.
Oh yeah, no problem at all. The poor smucks rolled a -2 with no real social skill. So yes, you got it with the shift. Honestly, they don't know a lot about him. Being one of the masters around, he comes to the factory not very often at all. Occasionally, when he's working on a new product or a new idea, the master level people don't even really have schedules. They just come in as they want, as they are full members of the guild. they don't really have to put in an honest day's work. They certainly weren't expecting him to be around this morning or whenever he got here.
I see. So when was the last time he was here? Like, what was the last project he was working on here?
Let's go take a look at the records. Miss Herbauer, is that correct?
That's right. You can call me Drina. You look like my oldest son right there. I give him a little pat on the cheek. Let's go see those records.
He pulls you off to the office then to look at the records. What are the rest of you guys doing?
I was going to just talk to the guard to see what his story is. Did he see the guy come in, et cetera, et cetera. Go along there.
Mr. Phillips is a 70-year-old tottering fat man. He has very large bifocals on his eyes, and you doubt they actually help him see much at all.
Did he hear him come in?
he seems confused. It's just a general expression as you come up. Howdy. He gives you a friendly look. He doesn't seem focusing on you too well.
Do you happen to know if anyone came in last night before you discovered the body?
No, just me. No one's allowed on this factory floor here other than the night security.
And Master Craftsman or anyone like that.
Oh, of course. They can come and go whenever they want, but no one scheduled to be here.
Is it uncommon for someone to just come by unscheduled? If they are the higher rank?
Of course they can do that whenever they like, but no, usually they call ahead because they want to make sure that they got the proper lighting and the proper machines have been turned on, and of course there's a matter of food, and well, they like it to be as comfortable as possible when they come, so they give us some notice usually.
Do you know a man named Enos Marks?
He looks a little embarrassed. Sure.
I was wondering if you just knew anything about him. He's a master craftsman.
No, sir. Don't associate with him very much. I'm sure I've seen the name.
Mm-hmm. Wondering if you knew anything about him. So, do you check to make sure everyone's out of here before they close up, or is that another man's job?
Oh, no, yes, sir. I walk the grounds once every hour and make sure there's no one here, and everyone signs out with the punch card before they leave for the night.
Yeah, they say to walk once every hour, but between you and me, do you always walk once every hour?
He looks a little ashamed, whistles a bit, looks down at his toes. Yes, I do.
Now, I need you to be honest. I won't leak this to the higher-ups. I'll make sure you keep your job forever, but...
He looks at the other guy standing around you, listening in on the conversation.
I take him to the side. I take him aside from the others. I'm like, you can be... Like, take him away from the others, kind of just get more one-on-one with him.
All right. Well, you take him off and start having a conference there. And what does... Mr. Miles, what is he doing?
Doctor
Miles.
I'm looking around the machine. Maybe perhaps there's other signs of a second person that was involved. Perhaps our unfortunate individual here grabbed something of someone else's before he met his end.
Untimely end.
His untimely end.
Yes.
Give me an investigation roll. And you can slot that in however good you want it to be.
It's average, I suppose. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm...
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Well, you find those spectacles that I had mentioned that were kind of ground up and laying on the floor. The frames look like they might be a little too large for the man, the skull fragments that are there. It's kind of hard to tell.
I think
it might be a little too big for what remains of the skull.
Right. But more importantly, are they of a quality such a gentleman would wear?
Oh, of course.
So, okay. So I'm going to assume that guilds work in design teams where they have bureau. Is this like the old Russian system where they have the big MIG bureau and the Tupolev bureau and all these things?
Yeah, it is very, very tiered.
I'll bring it up. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anybody else still around?
And you find the shoes too. The shoes that have been squirted off in the back wall. What you notice about those are, well, one, apparently the man didn't like wearing socks or didn't like last night because you don't see socks anywhere.
Or he left home in a hurry. What do I notice about the shoes? Are they of sufficient quality, or are they like?
No, the clothing matches what you would expect for this guy's social level.
Let's check out the shoes. Let's check the heels. Any secret compartments? All these science guys love secret compartments.
Sure. You go over the shoes pretty well. We're just going to keep that original investigation roll you got there. Nothing very well made. Of course, everything is hand-tailored just as a matter of course, but these are very good quality, but nothing special about them other than that. And they do indeed fit the man's feet that are the one part of his body that hasn't really been mangled that badly.
So there is enough blood that this is where he fell in the machine. Or was shoved in the machine. Okay.
It looks like it may have been.
All right. So anything I notice about the shoes, any hidden compartments, you know, like the heel panel or a telephone in the heel or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Although you do get the maker's mark off the shoe, so you know which cobbler did it.
Okay. So I'm assuming this is like that movie with Richard Gere and I can't remember the other woman's name, where they go and have an individual pattern made out when they're adults so we can match the pattern to the shoe as a forensic match, like a fingerprint.
No, it's not that quite advanced. All I was getting at is that all your clothing, it's all hand tailored. Right. So every tailor has their own maker's mark that they put on it. So you'd be able to find out who he bought his shoes from.
Right. And may I be able to find out whom sold him the glasses?
Possibly, yes. If there's enough of the glasses left that you can find the maker's mark on.
Well, do I need to do a roll about the maker's mark?
No, you just are going to take some time collecting all the bits and pieces of the glass. And while you're doing that, we'll go back to Drina.
Okay.
You're with Stan. Taking him off into a back room somewhere.
Right, so we were looking for this guy, Marx. He was guild maestro, so he had had... he only comes by when there's things he wants to change or when there are projects he's working on.
Yes, ma'am.
So what was the last project he was working on? Was he reworking the order of the machinery? Was he making something new?
Stan pulls out a leather-bound journal. It looks like they've got one journal per year. He takes it off a shelf of other journals that are kind of just numbered consecutively and says, well, the last time that he checked in, you know, of course they can come and go as they please, but the last time he actually checked in was this past Monday. He was here about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it looks like.
Okay. Let's see. Does he have an assistant?
Oh, he usually just gets who's ever on the floor that he decides is competent enough to help him that day. It looks like he requisitioned the aerodynamics room. If I remember right, he was working on a new steam engine for the biplanes.
Okay, where's the aerodynamics lab?
Oh, I'll take you there. It takes you off to a side room. It's a wind tunnel room, basically. And right now they've got a wing in the tunnel that they're testing stress on. There's no test being ran right now. That just looks like that's the last test that was being done in here.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, so that's interesting. Had he read, Mr. Bernoulli's papers on the path of least descent?
I'm afraid I'm not authorized to read those texts yet, sir. I'm still an apprentice.
Yeah, the Italian guy doing work on the movement of air over different surfaces.
His eyes are just kind of glazed over as you're explaining these things.
Right.
Sounds like a medical student.
Let's see. So, had Marx, basically what I want to know is, did Marx leave anything behind? Did he have a file with his drawings, a prototype?
Stan looks kind of aghast at the suggestion. He's like, oh, a master would never leave any of his work around. There's such strict competition amongst the different masters. They only pick one or two a year to become a higher station. So they keep their projects pretty close to themselves. I knew that Mr. Enos has a workstation in his home. I dropped a package off there once.
Okay. I go back to the body, and I try to find what's left of the hand, and then I look and I see if there's a wedding ring.
Okay.
All right. You find Miles there. He's apparently trying to collect pieces of a broken set of spectacles. The hands apparently were one of the first things that got mashed through the machine, though. You don't know that you'll be able to get much of anything, but you start playing around with the gears. Actually, go ahead and give me a repair roll there. Let's see if you can get into...
Okay. Here we go. Crafting.
Ooh.
Nice. That's enough.
Five.
You can tell after a few minutes of poking and prodding around that the gears actually have kind of a well at the bottom where if anything does get ran through and chipped off, it's got kind of like a collection sluice. And you're able to pull out the filter, and sure enough, he does have a wedding band, or what's left of a wedding band had fallen into the filter.
Okay, so I, out of the disgusting mess, I will use my pliers and carefully pull out his wedding ring, and I will examine it. Does it have an inscription in it?
It does. Apparently the ring was not made out of gold. It's made out of some other very strong metal as it survived intact through the gear teeth.
Yeah, mine is too. Drina's wedding ring is made out of titanium. Yeah, it says Fedor and Drina forever is the inscription on the inside. None of you know that, however. But so the inscription says what now?
It just says, to my beloved, and then Susa.
Great, he's married to a Portuguese composer.
meanwhile, Daniel.
Okay, now that I'm away with the guard. Okay, I need you to tell me honestly, before you found the body, when was the last time you did a round?
Give me a rapport roll there. He's not wanting to tell you the truth. What's your total?
Three.
That's good enough. You beat him by two. Yeah, well, truth is, most times I clock in on my shift, and as soon as I notice everyone else is gone, I kind of just kick my feet up and watch the latest show on the kinetoscopes. I don't so much make the rounds. He kind of looks down his feet, kind of ashamed.
It's all right. Normally it's not a problem, but you should try and, you know, maybe pick it up slowly. Because if you can do that, then if something like this happens again, they won't look at you badly, or you'll find it, you know, slightly earlier than approximately 6 hours later, I believe.
You do notice in your conversation, though, that he's a little hard of hearing. Yes, several times he asks you to repeat what you just said.
Yeah. So what's your retirement plan looking like?
I've got another 10 years here, then I can retire with full benefits.
Okay, just make sure to try and start working up to that at once every hour. Maybe start going through quickly through during the commercials.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? In as little time as nowhere, you'll feel healthier and happier.
He looks down at his gut. imagining it disappearing and looking forlorn at that, too. You won't tell anybody, will you, sir?
I won't tell anyone. Just, I want a promise from you. I want a promise from you that you'll try, that you will not try. You will slowly gain up to that once every hour.
He just kind of nods.
Am I in range of this conversation?
No, he took him off to the side.
Now, if you don't, and I'll check back in 6 months, and if you haven't gotten at least to once every 4 hours or 3 hours even, I will be questioning you, and I will have to pass it on to your superiors. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Good. I won't pass it on to your superiors. Okay, I'll just smooth this over, you know, because I want you to have good benefits. I want you to retire with your benefits. Just promise you'll do this for me. And don't just give me that, yes, sir. Give me an honest, yes, sir, like you're empowered.
He sucks in his gut, cinches down his belt a little tighter, you know, sticks out his chest, gives you the military salute as best he can.
Thank
He's out of breath from doing that.
And now, by any chance, are the midnight soaps as bad as I've heard? Because some of them I've heard. You know, I once heard that, you know, about the midnight soaps.
All right, so you guys waste about a half hour in conversation as to what the plot line of As the Stomach Churns is this week.
Yes. Yes, I kind of just make pleasant conversation, see if he happens to make, you know, every once in a while just ask him, like, oh, yeah, like, if see if he's heard anything else, and just make a nice pleasing. A pleasing that he likes me, and that maybe because he likes me, he'll actually do what I ask him.
Sure, you know, with the with a two over him, if you want to blow a chip and make that three or four over him, you could take him as a contact.
You know what? I may need him as a contact. Yeah, spend a chip. I'll put me down to three tokens.
Oops. I got it for you. All right. Meanwhile, back in the main room, Drina and Miles, you're both there kind of poking around the corpse. Drina, you've just unearthed that ring. Miles has gotten enough of the glasses together where you can find the maker marks. Apparently, he got the lenses in one place and the frames in another.
Whomever these belong to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's later. I'm going to be checking out the frame and the optical shops. Does the government issue any kind of medical license that I can flash at somebody? Like if I'm talking to.
Oh yes, you'll be licensed.
Okay, very good. That'll come in handy later. Did I notice anything else about the shoes other than the?
No, other than they did fit him, they were fairly new. They hadn't been worn very often.
Okay. Does it look like something you'd wear to the shop, or does it look like something you'd wear to Tosk at the Met?
You're not sure what his personal habits are like, especially since it looks like he dressed in a hurry. He might be someone who would wear something this nice to a shop.
Okay.
You really couldn't tell.
All right. And before we leave, I want to ask the security guard if he's got change for a five.
The security guard whistles, like, yeah, I can give you three for that five, or maybe four, but I don't quite have five. He's trying to scam you for an extra dollar.
I understand, but what I mostly want to see is, because he doesn't sound like the guy, if I can peek in his wallet when he pulls it out, or if he pulls out a wad of cash, I want to see if he does that.
Oh, no, he barely has the $5 that you're asking for him to change.
All right, yeah, I'll give him a dollar. I was just seeing if he was bribed is all.
He goes happily over to the vending machine with his extra dollar.
Yep.
Okay, so he had no wad of cash or somebody paid him not to see anything.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it.
All right.
No, he didn't. I look at him and go, no, he wasn't paid to see, to not, when he's well away at the vending machine. No. He's not paid. It's just
he puts one of those little ear trumpet things, you know, in his ear that they used to use for hearing devices. He says, "What? What?
Enjoy your snack. Enjoy your snack."
He goes back. He orders something fattening and sugar coated.
No, no, no. Don't worry about him. He's just... He needs to update his eyewear a little better. That's how he missed the body.
All right. And back to the pool of blood. Is there any other shoe patterns I can tell, or has everybody traipsed through here enough?
Daniel and Rena, neither one of you have made investigation rolls yet, so go ahead and give me rolls, and let's see if you know if you notice anything more than Miles did. I need at least a 4.
I got a 4.
You got a 4.
Yeah.
No, you don't really notice anything else. You also see the shoes.
I got a 4, but
right.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's just as good as what I was looking at for Miles. So you pick up on the same things that Miles does. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we know we have a master craftsman here.
Also, as to what I learned, blah, other than the fact that it's only not making it sound like the security card is inept, just that he's slightly hard of seeing and needs to update his eyewear.
You're not familiar with that, Brian. If a player tells you blah, you can assume that you have been privy to any conversation they've just had with someone else.
All right.
The staff is just kind of waiting around to see what you want to do. They've halted production for the day, and they're just going to fire things up and get everything cleaned up when you give them the say-so. So they're just kind of waiting around.
Right. You good here?
I think we're good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, sounds good.
I cleaned the gore off the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrap it up. I'm going to go. Let's go see Mrs. Marks.
Okay. And on the way, you can tell... Each of you can tell us what you've learned.
Yeah, I mean, I blah them on.
Yeah. Okay.
On the biplane engine and all that stuff.
Hmm.
And I think that a trip to the frame and ophthalmology and the optometry shop would be in order to find out if these are his glasses or if they belong to someone else. And I've cooked up a story for it too.
Mm-hmm. So
sounds good. Where do you want to go first?
Can we split up, or do we need to go together?
It's up to you. Drina is the only one who really has an electric car.
Yeah, I'm riding with her.
Is the shop within walking distance? I mean,
No, but you could take the pneumatic subway there if you wanted to.
Okay, well, my story will work better if I separate from them and go check out the. I'll go check out the ophthalmology shop and then the shoe shop if I think it's necessary. So I'm going to get on the subway and I'll meet up with them later.
Okay. Do you guys see that map I just dropped on the screen?
Yes, I noticed it.
Okay. Would you guys just move your token onto it? Let me make sure that your tokens appear above it. There we go. Yeah, it does.
How do I move the map around? I can zoom in and out.
Right click. Yeah.
Right click and drag. Actually, I can zoom in.
Okay.
All right. Well, Drina and Daniel, he apparently has a set of apartments that are owned by the guild pretty close to where the factory is. It's about 6 blocks down.
On the way, I wanted to talk a little bit with Drina.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking that it may have to deal with plans, because as you said, they're very secretive. I think either he stole some plans and built off of that, someone's plans, or someone stole his plans, and they were arguing, and that's probably what caused the violence, is what I'm thinking. Something along those lines. Since it is a big competition.
Gotcha. Yeah. It could, you know, we shouldn't jump to conclusions, but it definitely is a possibility.
It's one of the likely possibilities that we should look into. See who his major competition was.
Well, that's probably his wife is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. But good move going there. Okay.
Who's moving their microphone around?
Yeah, someone is eating their mic.
Brian. Brian's Brian, how does your mic taste?
I don't do anything to it.
All right, just so that everybody knows, if you do have to move your microphone around at all, hit the pause button on the Skype call for yourself. There's a little icon that says mute your microphone because it comes over pretty loud on the recording otherwise. Okay, so back in the car again, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just saying, I guess we'll head over to see his
wife now.
See his wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has a set of apartments, like I said, about 5-6 blocks down. It is owned by the same guild. Doorman greets you at the entrance. It is a private set of apartments. He does ask to see your credentials.
Yeah, I'll be sure of them.
I'm sure.
Very good. And what can I do for you today?
We're here to see Mrs. Marks.
Mrs. Marks. Enos's wife?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, well, she doesn't live here. She's not in Metapole right now. I believe Mr. Marks had mentioned a couple times about trying to get her here, but she's still overseas.
Hmm. Well, can you at least take us to his apartment anyway?
Oh, certainly, certainly. He takes you over to the service elevators, and so this is the quickest way up. It's the fifth floor button. As you go up, and when you the fifth floor, apparently the whole floor is Enos's. And this is the map that I kind of dropped on here.
Okay.
The floor plan's not exact. It just, you know, gives you an idea that it's got several rooms, and he has the whole floor to himself.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to use the bathroom real quick. I'll be back in 1 second.
Sure. I'm going to flip over then to Miles. Miles. Yes. You have taken the pneumatic subway downtown to basically Peddler's Row. This is where all the shopkeepers have set up. Metapole is set out in a circle that you think of it as broken up into different spokes.
It's the Undercity.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're actually in the affluent neighborhood. You're at the top of the clock at the second district. This is fairly upscale neighborhood. But this is the shopping district for that. You know, think of upscale, what is the Hollywood shopping district called?
I'm not sure.
Can't remember the name of it. But yeah,
it's this like is Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, right, right. This is the upscale. There you go. And the people who have the cobbler that made his shoes and the two different places that made the spectacles all can be found along this street. Which did you want to check in on first?
Let's go to the frame shop first.
Okay. You enter in Spectre Spectacles.
What do I see? I mean, is there an assistant or anybody?
There is an assistant. There's two customers in right now. They're being apparently their heads and measurements are being taken for a new set of frames. He's an older man, probably in his early 50s, maybe late 50s. Seems to be very efficient, taking down the measurements on these two ladies that are here. Behind the counter, you can see there's kind of a lab setup where there's a man pouring out the metals and, you know, setting them out to cool. Everything is all handcrafted. The metals are even, you know, poured and created here on site.
Right. Can I talk to the? I need to speak with the man at the lab setup.
Sure. You go up to the counter and what can I do for you? My assistant there is taking measurements. Do you need a new set of spectacles today? I'm afraid I'm a little busy here. As he pours the molten metals into a mold.
I show him my medical license, not my government credentials, but my medical license, and I explained to him. You see, I need a bit of a favor, sir. I I know this poor young waif of a girl who works in one of these fine houses, and she's accidentally broken the master's spectacles. Being one of her close confidants, if you know what I mean, she thought with my medical connections I might be able to get his frames replaced as well as go get his lenses replaced. Poor dear was in such a tizzy when she told me this that I was unable to catch the name of the gentleman whose glasses she broke, so... Knowing how some people can be quite mean and, as you understand, torturous, aside, being one of them, to such individuals, I was hoping that I could see if I could get his frames replaced. You see, this this young lady is quite meaningful to me.
Give me a deceit roll.
Nice elaborate deceit. How important is that to his character, though?
Yeah. How good at lying is Miles?
I hope he's good at least.
Well, yeah, because his basic field work was an interrogation, you know, using deceit and those kinds of things.
If you left click on your character, left double click on it in the notes field, just start as you use a skill that you rolled tonight.
Okay.
Just kind of put it down and give an explanation of how good it is.
Okay.
Just so we can keep it all together for the next time.
All right. Whether it's good, great, fair, average.
So what is your total then? What are you going to choose for that one?
I am great at everything.
I'm going to say above average. Not necessarily great, but
so above. Like a two?
Maybe
yeah.
A
good.
Yeah, good. We'll call
it, yeah. Good is three.
Okay.
All right, good. All right, well, at a good, you've got a minus one, so that'll give you an overall of two, which will meet his. Yeah, sure. It seems like he buys your story, but doesn't look incredibly interested in helping you out. So it's like, well, if you can wait for me to finish this order, sir, I'd be glad to see what I can do for you. He continues working.
That's very good. Meantime, I'm just going to kind of look around the shop and see if I can.
I'm surprised you didn't. You, as a note, you could use a fate chip to be more deceiving.
Yeah, if you want to tap one of your aspects that you have, you can spend one of your fate chips and it'll either give you a plus two to the roll or allow you to re-roll your roll. If you have an aspect that you think will work in the situation, you've picked three.
Right.
And so you still have a few left. How many did we start with? Six?
Six.
Six, yeah. So you still have three others that you could pick if you don't have one currently that would help you in your lying.
Well, I'm going to say, well, I already have deceit then. I mean, or have I already rolled that?
Oh, no, that's the actual skill. The aspect is some kind of statement about your character, like what would be a good one for lying.
I don't care about you. I know what you know.
Oh, that's actually a good one. But
it actually would work about this. That would work like crazy.
Yeah.
You tap that aspect.
So you tap that aspect and you spend one of your chips under your notes. I've got your chips written down. Just decrease that by one.
Okay.
And the aspects you can use the same one only once per scene. So like after you leave the store, you can use it again. But while you're in here, you've used it.
Okay.
All right. So do you want to add the plus two or do you want to just go ahead and re-roll?
Let's add the plus two.
Okay, very good. Well, that would put you two above him. It's enough for him to take notice of you more. So he pours the metal out and says, oh, well, he wipes off his hands on a cloth towel that's nearby and says, oh, of course, always willing to help someone of the medical profession. Never know when that kind of aid might be useful. kind of winks at you and says, come on back. He unlocks the lab door for you.
Okay. All right, I follow him.
What type of repair work do we need done here? Do we need a whole new set made? I hope you have the measurements.
I was hoping you may have had them recorded. Frames such as these should seem to be belong to an individual, or you might remember when you've made them and for whom.
Oh, sure. Let me see what you have.
I'm afraid it's not much, and I hand him out the little pieces.
Oh, my. This friend of yours must have been quite the klutz. I definitely remember this work. This was a special piece, actually. we just made, let me check my calendar as he goes back. pulls out his logbooks. Yes, it was 3 months ago I had this requisitioned. It's a very prestigious man. Yes, here we are. Simon Gunderson. He's a... I believe he is now a master in the Guild of Transportation.
Well, that'll be helpful because I'll need to see the lens maker to get his lenses, and I need to be headed over that direction to. Do you have Mr. Gunderson's address so that when I get everything together, I can have it delivered to him?
Oh, let me think. No, I'm afraid I don't, but I do have his telephony connection here. He writes down a number for you. It's a 4-digit number on a piece of paper.
Oh, very good. You know, my friend, she has very special talents, and I'm not sure exactly how she broke these, so let's keep it on the...
he looks at the bent and mangled frame and says, yes, very special talents. I will require a deposit for my work, however. It seems that this particular set was 1,500. Most of the metal's intact. I'll have to re-smelt it. So shall we say a deposit of 100 for good faith and another 3 upon picking up?
Fine. Very good. Is all this billable to the state?
You can submit it and we'll see. resources is the skill you would have if you wanted Miles to be on the affluent side. You would want it at least greater than 1.
Okay, I guess fair. So I'll write that down in my notes. Hey, he is a physician after all.
Yes. All right. Meanwhile, back in the apartment complex. Are you back, Abel?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. It's many different suites on this floor. They're apparently all his. One is obviously a laboratory. You can smell the particular odors of different chemicals and the kind of slick oil. It just kind of hangs in the air. He has a well-appointed sitting room with a fireplace, many books lining the counters, and he has a very large bedroom that has a sunk into the floor, kind of a bath with tile floors.
Well, does he have any lab books?
Give me an investigation roll as you go through his laboratory.
Nah.
What does it give you as a total? Are you positive?
Nope.
Okay, his lab is actually pretty messy. It's very much in disarray. There are notes kind of all over the place in various stages of being soaked in a chemical or two, scratched out, scrawled on. You find some things, but they're all very difficult to read.
Do you need a little help there, Drina?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you give me a general idea of what I might be looking for?
A diary would be helpful, like some kind of a log of his work over time.
Okay, you know. I'll start looking too.
Are you confining your search just to the laboratory, or are you searching the whole floor?
I'm gonna search the whole floor.
Okay, then just give me the one roll, and this will count for the whole floor.
Great. 4.
Okay. There are notes scattered about all over the place, but it looks like they're more just notations to himself. There is no cohesive logbook of what he's been working on. So the man either keeps it all in his head, or it's just not here. You do, however, find his bank registry or his financial book.
Mm-hmm. Anything interesting in that a large number coming out of nowhere or anything like that?
I don't even need a roll for this. Actually, this man apparently it's like clockwork. Every month, every day, at the exact same time, the same amount of money in accounts, out of accounts. It's the same month after month after month. There is no change. until this past month, there's a $10,000 or 10,000 credit notation put in.
So, Ed.
The other thing that you will notice with that roll that you got, Daniel, as you're flipping through his wardrobe, you notice he has the same suit, pants, shoes, and socks. And when I mean the same, I mean they're all made by the same tailor. They're all the same color. They're all the same cut. His books are not only alphabetized, but they're broken into subjects. His kitchen, there's like one spoon, one fork, one salad fork, one plate.
Is there an extra pair of socks?
Well, he has multiple pairs of socks, but they're all the same. They're all made by the same man, you know, the same crafter. They're all exactly the same type. They're all exactly the same color.
So now,
he doesn't seem like a man who changes.
It's kind of the idea that you're getting.
What is this about a motorcycle gang?
What?
You lost us there, Abel.
Oh, no, never mind. So the he had some kind of you said he had made some kind of payment in his financial ledger?
No, yes. It's listed in the income roll. Row.
He got more money than he should have at a different time than normal, which means probably a payout for something. Either he saw something, knew something, sold something.
What's your resources like, Daniel? Or Drina, too? Either one, since you're both looking over the records.
One.
How's Drina?
Mine is good. It's three.
Okay, something that you find kind of odd, just looking at the balances in the register, he's saving almost 80% of his income. He's living like incredibly minimally for someone of his stature.
So obviously this guy doesn't have a lot of actual vices.
Mm-hmm.
He wears the same clothes all the time.
Mm-hmm. He probably even eats the same things. I bet if we go into the kitchen,
I go into the kitchen.
There's no food in the kitchen.
Right. I'm guessing, really? I check the garbage.
There's remains of a meal in the garbage, but there's actually nothing even to prepare meals with. There's something to eat meals with, but nothing to prepare them.
Oh, he always orders in or has someone prepare it for me or perform. Or is there a cook for the place?
Places like this generally do have a on-premises cooking staff.
Yeah, okay, that's that.
So he doesn't cook for himself, but he doesn't have any real vices either.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have any car payments? Or, is there anything that he owns?
Looking through the ledger, I mean, he has a few, you know, he pays utilities. Of course, his rent is free here since it's owned by the guilds. It looks like very minimal payments, just the things you would normally see in a person, a normal life. There's no large payments to anything. No, he doesn't own a car. And while his clothing is all the same, I mean, it's fairly well tailored. It's things that he would wear for his status. It's just not over that. It's like intentionally made to be like dead on what his status should be.
Instead of being what most people try to do and being over status.
Right. If he has a vice, it might be books, because he has an incredible array of different books on his shelves.
Any books that shouldn't be there, i.e. not fully legal?
No, but most of the books, oddly enough, are not on engineering or mechanical topics.
What are they, philosophy?
Philosophy, politics. He apparently likes his fiction. He has a lot of the Penny Dreadfuls.
Can we make any sense of like what the notes were all about, the notes he has all strewn about? Do they have like a central topic, or are they literally just random things that would are relevant to the area they're within?
Drina would have the really only chance of knowing that, unless Drina wants to pop a chip for that role she made initially. It's just random gobbledygook.
Yeah, I don't really have a applicable aspect, so I wouldn't mind really, but yeah, I don't really have that aspect I can bring to bear here.
That's fine. Yeah. Not as far as you can tell, it's just random jots, like something he wanted to remind himself of, but it has no other context, so you really can't determine what it was about. Like, you know, there's some numbers written here and there and question mark or an exclamation mark next to it or some beginning parts of a formula, but the rest of it's not there.
Gotcha.
This is a little weird, though, that his notes are so stern about was everything else is organized.
Good point.
Damn it, why don't we have the burglar with us when there could have been a burglary? I check to see if anything's... Did anything seem out of place? I mean, do the notes seem somewhat organized, or is it just completely random, as in someone's been messing with it?
Oh, no, it looks like it was just placed where he was working at the time. It may very well be that in his personal life he's a very orderly person, but when he is in the mood of creation, that he's very wild about where things are placed.
Okay, yeah. He's very random chaos creative. Yep, creative. Yep, makes sense.
All right, I'm going to pause you guys for a bit, and we'll go back to Mr. Miles.
Okay.
You there, Brian?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
So you've just left the spectacle place, and you have a name, a Simon Gunderson.
Right.
As well as
a phone number. All right, let's call the number and ask for his assistant.
Okay. What resource level are you buying for yourself?
Fair.
Fair? Okay. Yeah. You will likely not have a mobile phone, so you're going to be using a pillbox, a phone box outside.
Good enough.
You dial the number. You get a secretary on the other end. This is Mr. Gunderson's residence. Who, may I ask, is calling?
Yes, this is Dr. Miles Cordell Wraithbone IV. And...
You kind of hear following along going, Cordell, D-E-L-L, Wraithbone. She's kind of talking to herself. It sounds like she's maybe writing down your name.
Great, I lost my train of thought now. I had a dinner meeting with Mr. Whatever this guy's name is. What was it, Sigmundson?
Simon Gunderson.
Mr. Gunderson. Last night, and we were supposed to meet, and unfortunately we didn't, and I didn't know if he had left something for me at another location, perhaps. It was just going to be a quick, he was going to hand something to me, and he may have left it at another location, so I was wondering if I could find out where he was last night and perhaps go by and pick up what he had left.
A really good deceit roll.
All right.
Ooh. Come on, four.
Oh. Never mind.
you can visualize the arched eyebrow on the secretary. As I am looking through his reservation book here, it doesn't appear that he had a meeting with any Mr. Wraith. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm unable to give you that information at this time.
Oh, that's too bad, for it wasn't actually a real meeting. He was just going to drop something off. You see, if Mr. Wraithbone has any health conditions, it may have been important to him or his family.
I see. You don't think she's buying it. I will write down that you have phoned the residence today, and I'll make sure that he gets in touch with you. What number can I have him call?
Unfortunately, my phone isn't working. I'll have to try and call back later. Thank you.
Certainly.
Well, that got us. I didn't get us very far. We'll have to try another way. Somebody else will have to try another way to get into the group then, or to his residence. I have to think up another reason to go there.
Wow, this is complicated for him. I know already how to get in there.
Toss you. So are you going to the Lynn's place next? Or the shoe place?
let's go to the shoe place.
Okay. Brisk business is going on. There are many people in here. You quick count, 7, maybe 8 people, all men. And they're all seated, and newspapers in hand, as young boys are quickly getting foot measurements and doing basic leather working for new shoes being made. The master is overseeing the whole thing with a stern look to his eye, and is that a bullwhip in his hand?
My kind of man.
Every once in a while, you hear him yell out, "Nine!" as he slaps his bullwhip down on one of the apprentices for getting a number wrong.
All right, so I think in the initial thing, one of my guys' languages was German.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to figure out what to ask him.
You could just say "Guten Tag, mein Herr."
Yeah. Well, I know that, but can you go back to them? I got to think up something real quick.
No problem.
I had to get for a second.
Okay, switching back to the apartment then.
All right.
Well, if we can't find anything here, hopefully the other person, hopefully whatever that Wraithbone guy, what do you think of him so far? From past experience, I find him to be an uppity prick. How about you?
I think that's a little premature. But
I've worked with him before.
He may have actually done medical work for some of your children. That may be how you know him.
Oh, okay.
I'm a psychiatrist. I don't know unless they're crazy.
He's got 8 children. Or she's got 8 children.
May have done medical work for her.
I've found people for him who I thought were a little unstable, and in order for a contract to go through, I had to send him his way. He's a good psychiatrist, but he's a little on the "I'm better than everyone else" side, in my opinion.
Oh, that's sad.
He doesn't think of the little people. He thinks of himself and his money.
That's fine.
But he is good money.
Of all types.
Yes. Everyone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something we're missing here, I feel like. Does he have any projects in the lab? Like anything that's half built?
Yeah, it's actually there. It looks like he works on multiple things at once. Give me a repair roll. Good enough. Currently, it looks like he has some new design for a slimmer, smaller type of engine.
Anything, I asked Trina, do you notice anything else? Anything regarding, as in, wing design or anything that would actually use a wind tunnel or aerodynamic?
With that roll, no, I mean, that's actually not a bad roll. The engine could maybe be used in a plane, but there's nothing that would point out that it's particularly used for any kind of aero.
Right. It's just a good engine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay. And there's is there anything about his wife jotted down anywhere?
Any diaries?
Nope. Apparently he didn't have any diaries. Well, one thing you do find is that there's a bedroom. He's got his own kind of like master bedroom. It's very minimalistic. There's just basically a bed and then the in floor kind of bathing area. The man apparently enjoyed his baths. But there is another bedroom that nothing's been – there's no bed in there yet, but there is like a wardrobe, a very nice wooden wardrobe. It's got a beautiful view out the window. And since he's in a nice district, it is a very nice view. It just kind of strikes you as the room being more of a feminine quality. There's more care been put into the room, but it's all very generalized. There's nothing nothing to fit someone's kind of personality. You don't have the feeling that anyone lives in this room.
Yes, this is her room, and she finally gets here. Most likely. What I'm thinking. Or a guest room.
There's no bed in the room, so you're figuring maybe not a guest room.
So it's the wife's room when she finally gets her hell out of bed, et cetera, to her tastes.
Wait a minute. So the secondary bedroom.
Without a bed. Without a bed. Secondary bedroom without a bed. What's in the wardrobe?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, there are hangers ready for clothing to be put in there. It actually still has the smell of like the carpentry and the sealant. It's new work.
His wife is going to be depressed when she learns of this.
Wait a minute. I go to the dresser and stuff. Like, there's nothing. There's nothing female in there.
There's nothing in it at all.
The wife will bring the clothes along with her, most likely. She prefers her own style. Most likely.
That doesn't make... Wait a minute. You don't clear out your bedroom. You don't clear out, like, everything you own if you're just leaving the country for a while. If you expect to come back, you at least leave some underwear, some socks.
She hasn't come here yet, remember? She's still in the old country. She hasn't moved here.
Oh, okay, right. I misunderstood. Right, I thought she was...
No. She hasn't moved here yet. That's why there's all this... That's why he's getting this stuff in preparation, because he was expecting her sometime soon, or he was working on her coming here.
Okay.
Maybe we can talk to the guard to see if he knows anything about his patterns other than this. Because this seems a little... Yeah. Yeah, maybe we could talk to the night elevator person who saw him leave.
Yeah.
Because most likely he took the elevator.
Yeah, it seems like the next step. I mean,
yes.
We'll do that.
Yes.
All right. The doorman's name is Benny. He is a doorman and/slash guard as well. Very fit individual. He's in his 30s or so. He looks like he may have done military service. He has that kind of stiff-spined, at-rest attitude about him. A little hesitant to speak to you about one of the clients of the apartment at first. I understand that you're trying to do everything possible for Mr. Marks. I'll help you as much as I can, but you understand that this part of my job is discretion.
Mm-hmm. When he left, I'm guessing he left last night in the middle of the night or something like that. Was he disheveled? Did he seem anxious? Like he just had to get out of there? Or can you just say anything along the lines of his state, his mental state?
Give me a rapport roll. Let me see how much he's willing to give up on his client.
Oh, good God. That's 6.
Okay, that's pretty good. Unfortunately, my shift ends at 9:00. Afterwards, the lobby is pretty much shut down. There's still a cooking staff here, and it's just a key card entry coming and going. I can tell you this, though, that Mr. Marks was a man of particular regularity. He left at 6:00. Every morning to work. He got back at 6 p.m. every day. He would take an afternoon evening constitutional at 8:00 that lasted exactly 1 hour. He had coffee for dinner always. He had the same meal delivered to his room at 9:00 every night. I'm usually the one that had it sent up right before I clock out. But if he left last night after 9, I'm afraid that there's not likely to have been anyone to have seen him.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you for your time.
During the whole conversation, he kind of had his hand out like, you know, I work for tips, buddy.
I look over at him right now.
As the conversation goes and nothing is going into his hand, he just kind of slowly puts it down uncomfortably.
Yes, I put that in whatever the appropriate amount is. I don't know. Whatever that would be.
That's fine. You have a resource rating, so yeah, don't worry about it. Sure.
Fair enough.
she has a good resource rating. I don't.
And by the time you're leaving the apartment complex, we're going on about noon. So you've been on the trail for about 6 hours. You spent a good 3 hours poking around at his apartment building and 2 hours at the crime scene.
I guess we need to go find out what,
Miles.
Wraithbone. Wraithbone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Miles, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
So I'm going to walk up to the gentleman. Guten Tag, meine Herren. Wie geht es Ihnen heute? So I'm asking him how it's going in German.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, and when he answers me back, I'm going to see if I can use my knowledge of German to find out where he's, to see if I can tell where he's from.
Okay. Give me a roll.
All right.
Ich spreche keine Deutsch.
Kleine or keine?
Kinda.
Ich spreche ein bisschen, aber nicht
besonders. Right, you got a positive number. He did not. So yes, you can pick out the particular dialect that he has. My world is not, strictly speaking, actually Germany, so I am not going to say where, because that place may not exist.
Right.
Until I have it hashed out. But yes, you can pick out the exact Berg that he came from.
So, let's see. So then I'm just going to, I'm going to say, I can tell from your accent you're from, Krunkenland. And and tell him that the reason I came to a shop today, and this time I'm going to show my official credentials, and tell him that I'm investigating an unfortunate end to one of his clients. And these are one of the few things, thanks to their great workmanship.
Could you show the ID before you can get much more out of your mouth? He says, "I deny that I am the butcher of Krakena."
Oh, tell him that I studied that and I admire the work. And but the reason, I was just following up because of his fine craftsmanship. These are one of the few things that survived Mr. whoever the guy's unfortunate end. And I was wondering if he could. Tell me what these shoes were made for, since they obviously were of fine quality, and if there's any special purpose to them or any story behind them that, why they would have survived being crunched through the machine.
So you're not here about my butchering, the butchering? okay. Sure, I will look at these shoes for you. he puts on a monocle in his left eye. He turns his shoes around backwards and forwards and says, yes, I know these shoes. I made them specially for Mr. Marx.
Did he say that there was any special occasion for these shoes, or are these just regular everyday? I mean,
laughs when you say that. It's like, you apparently are no friend of Mr. Marx. He always has the same shoe ordered, always the exact same shoe. The man knows when I use too few or too many stitches.
Mm. What kind of socks did he use?
I'm afraid I don't know that. Perhaps one of the apprentices have remember fitting him. I don't see the feet.
All right. Well, thank you, mein Herr, and tell him I admired whoever was the butcher, that they did great work.
The butchering was done tastefully. Yes.
All right. Let's talk to one of the assistants, and when I talk to him, I'm going to give him a – how old are these? Are they kids or are they
teens? They're kids. They're like, early teens, 13, 14-year-olds.
All right. I give one of them a dollar and ask him if Mr. Marks wore socks always with his shoes or not.
One of them does remember Mr. Marks. Apparently, he remembers him because Mr. Marks never tipped. and he does remember the quality of the sock. He said he always wore the same type of sock. It was a gray with, he names off this kind of weave pattern. Very common, but good quality.
All right, so he didn't have on socks. Okay, well, thank them.
Yeah, give me a rapport roll, actually.
Okay.
Ooh, two. He admits to undersizing Mr. Mark's shoes after the first few times he didn't tip.
Well, that's why you always tip your shoeman.
I mean, that's why I didn't have on socks. I don't know, but that seems odd. All right, I think I need to go to. I'm cooking up a plan. I think I need to go to the Lynn's place. Mm-hmm. And on the way to the Lynn's place, I'm not sure what I'm wearing, but I want to look less nice. Maybe look a little more, more like a sort of a delivery person or some sort of errand man. You know, an odd handyman. I don't know how I can do that with what I'm wearing or
how. Step people into a shop and buy the newest in page boy apparel.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how your world works. You know, maybe undo the tie. You know, don't put on a tie. Look a little. Take off a coat if I have it on or something.
You're a little old for a delivery person. They usually use children for that.
Well, no, I mean handy odd job person. You know, I had a handyman. He stole my television set. He was 40. Okay.
What?
All right. So
I'm basing on my real experiences here.
Okay, you can go into a shop and buy a overall, or a coverall,
and I guess a give him hell hat or something, one of those workers caps.
Sure, pick up a toolbox, some kind of working box,
or more of a sack or a bag or something.
Okay,
yes, more like a looter.
There you go. Hold on just a second. Is there a disguise skill? I forget. Or is that under just burglary?
I think that's disguise is under deceit.
Deceit. Okay. Give me a deceit.
Let me double check.
I've got my list here.
Well, you got to remember about my character. One of the first things is the degrees are real. The name isn't.
Yes. Let's give a color to deceit roll since that's what you're trying to do anyway. And give me the roll, and this is how good your disguise is.
Oh, I hit it. I think I hit zero first. There we go. Or no, I hit two. Sorry. Or what did I hit? I can't tell. Let me roll again.
Go ahead.
Okay, it was zero.
All right. And what is your deceit skill?
I guess it's plus two. I put
okay,
it down.
Good enough.
Yes. Deceit. Lying, misdirection, deception,
disguise. Yes. Okay. So you've got a plus two. Okay, that's not horrible. It's fair. Fair disguise. It would pass muster to most places.
All right.
So what are you wanting to do in your new disguise?
I want to go to the Lynn shop.
Mm-hmm. About as brisk as the spectacle shop was.
I'm looking nervous because I don't really feel like I belong here dressed like this. So, I'm kind of looking around. Is there anybody here wanting to make me go away that I can talk to who looks like they want me to?
There's only one guy here. He's behind kind of a work partition. You can see the glass shop behind him. There's no customers at the moment, and it looks like he's the only person here. So when you walk in and the little bell chimes on the door, he kind of perks up and says, "You have a prescription?"
No. What was the guy's name? I'm blanking tonight.
You should write it down.
Mr. Marks.
Marks. The other guy.
Gunderson.
Gunderson. Yeah. Hi, my name is Cletus, and Mr. Gunderson, he had an accident with his glasses, and he sent me over to place an order for some new replacement lenses, and he said he wanted it fast.
Oh, of course. Mr. Gunderson always has a standing order. We always have four ready for him.
He wanted me to get him and take him over to the frame shop. He's having the frames made today, and he needs them for a function.
Certainly. He just turns around. He rifles through a couple of shelvings. He brings out a silk bag that has a lens in each side. Takes down like a clipboard and says, "If you'll sign here, please."
All right, I sign for it. Cletus Smith.
All right. and just tell Mr. Gunderson that we'll add it to his account and he can settle up at the end of the month as he usually does.
Thank you very much.
He's going to wonder who the hell
is. And, okay. As you're leaving the door, you see him going for one of the telephone consoles behind the desk.
Excuse me there, sir. Mr. Gunderson doesn't want this to show up because he was like with a friend, and I use air quotes, and he doesn't want this to go through the official channels, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Give me a deceit roll.
Ooh. I need to spend a fate chip.
Okay.
and redo the roll.
Okay. You tap the same aspect. This is a different scene, so that's fine.
All right. Let me take off a...
Okay, you can never roll worse than you did before. So you would still... What is your deceit skill?
It's like 2.
Okay, so you're at a positive 1.
I thought you made it good. Yeah. Great.
I don't know. I can't remember. Let me go back and check and see what
he,
I did.
He nods at you and just says, of course. Yeah, we're fine. He can settle up as he usually does. You've got an idea that he's not quite believing your story. But he's letting you go.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Gunderson. Really appreciates your discretion.
He waves you off.
All right. And then I guess I need to change back into my...
Yes, before you change back in. Coming, Drina, your car pulls up. Since you knew where Mr. Wraith was going.
Dr. Wraith's phone was going.
You pull up on the side of the street where the best parking is, and guys, give me just an alertness roll. Well, not you, Miles. I just want to see if they can penetrate your fiendishly clever disguise.
Oh, my God, 2.
Well, if you got a 2, it's as good as his disguise, so you would notice him. Drina? Have we lost Abel?
No, I'm here. Okay. Sorry, are we all back together?
Almost. No,
okay. Wait, where are we now?
You're just got out of your car. You're in the shopping district where Miles is. Give me an alertness roll to see if you can penetrate his clever disguise.
Okay.
And what's your alertness?
That's a 0. So.
But what is your alertness? Do you have no alertness?
I have nothing in alertness right now.
Okay, so you...
Hey, I tapped Drina. Look, Drina. Drina.
Yes?
That guy right there. The guy in the overalls. That's him. Let him...
Miles is walking down the street wearing some overalls. He's carrying a little repair kit.
Miles, why are you dressed like a duck hunter?
Subterfuge, my good man. Subterfuge.
Let me guess. You came up with a clever name, too. Something Smith. It's always something Smith.
Hey, Cletus is my baptismal name, so it wasn't that much of a stretch.
Jeez, why don't you just, like, rest a shotgun on your shoulder?
Hey, go with what you know.
Where your like your little tam o' shanter off at an angle.
Okay.
We'll get you a little pointer dog, and you're a duck hunter.
Put that
kit away. You look completely ridiculous.
Is anyone following you that we need to be aware of?
Not that I know of, but I'm kind of sketchy about the gentleman in the shop.
What'd you do now? Wait, we'll talk about it in the car. In the car.
I have a plan. Are we in the car now?
Yes. You
can. I tell them blah about what I found out about the dude and his glasses. And then I tell them how I've got the lenses and I'm having the frames remade, and that how we can use the glasses to get to Mr. Gunderson.
Uh-huh. And why don't we just go up to him, show him our contract papers, and question him?
Because he might not talk to us if he thinks we're an official investigator. Maybe if he thinks we're somebody else who'd be bought off.
This seems overly complicated.
Yes, it does. I say we just go ask him some questions. You can stay back and continue with your great subterfuge.
No, no, no. Let's go along with the subterfuge for now.
But what are we going to do? This seems overly complicated.
Well, do you have a better plan? Other than barging in there, guns blazing, IDs flashing, and he's going to clam up and call for his lawyer?
What lawyer?
Well, I'm going to assume that the rich and affluent have access to civil rights and lawyers, regardless of what the underclasses are.
What rights?
Well, he is a master in the guild, and remember, you don't have any authority to actually arrest.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could still ask a few people, ask around a little bit to see. We still do have some reputation and respect being who we are. We could ask around the guild to see who the up and comings for the promotion of the masters were and see if these two were up there and maybe they had a problem. Cause I'm thinking that because he forgot his socks, he rushed out. Something was told to him, something about either Miles, Marx has cheated, or Marx did something, he stole something, or Marx just knew something, or had an idea, and that's why he ran out. He must have heard something that got him out, and whatever happened there.
Okay, fine. I'll come back and get the frames later.
Let's go with your plan. This is just a theory.
All right.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to get a hold of the guild and find out what you've asked? How do you guys want to handle it?
Well, I suppose that what I think the glasses should be used for is to flush him out once we have the box built around him.
Okay, so you're thinking that one of his rivals for promotion killed him?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or for a design for money. I mean, if they're already masters in the guild, then maybe it's money. Right now
they're having the big competition. I remember that they're competing really hard right now for that promotion up, since they only select a few. And it may be that they either had the same idea along the same lines or something like that. This is all a possibility.
I see. Okay, I think I know where we should go.
All right.
You're driving, so you get to select where we're going.
Okay.
And I'm changing back while I'm in the back seat.
hey, don't do that while I...
That's fine. You change out of your Duck Hunter outfit. and we're going to the Broken Gear Tavern.
Okay. You're in District 2, so you're going now to the Squalor District. Yes. All right. Good. 20-minute drive, and you pull up to the cog.
Okay. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to try to find out from the ground up here who was up for selection for his master's votes. I assume there's some sort of committee that approves these guys.
Yeah, you're well known around here, so you're able to pick up some base information. No one knows the particulars of who was up, but they do know that the guilds, all of them, including the Transportation Guild, have just held their semi-annual, where the they only promote each time one master up into the next ranks. Okay,
every 6 months.
Yes. Okay. and they only choose one every 6 months. They go up ranks, and sometimes none at all. But the way that it works is that either the head of the guild or the right-hand man, and you actually know that person, Joshua Dare, you've met him before and actually saved him, is the right-hand man of the head of that guild. So the one person, that person is on the committee. The second one is a master that is known to the guild head or his right-hand man, but not to the person that is coming up for status, okay? So the person who's coming up to be voted on knows the head of the guild, right? He knows that person. He doesn't know the second person. He doesn't know the identity of or who he is. The third person is unknown to the other three. Okay, it's a random lot drawing. The person doesn't even speak. He just votes yay or nay. They do this as kind of like a blind system, so there's no favoritism showed. It's supposedly just done on the merits of the person who's going up for status. Mm-hmm. And that is how they run the proceedings. All three have to agree that the master is of equivalent work and stature and is ready to be promoted. But other than just the basics of how it's done, no one in the bar, since they don't really hang out with the upper class very often, know who is up for review. Although it is a matter of public knowledge, you could look it up in the archives, or if you have a contact in the guild yourself, I mean, it is public knowledge who is up, not who is voting, but who the person being voted on.
I'll go find that out. It can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Public records, or do you want to tap Mr. Dare?
Public.
We
could tap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, we could talk to Dare, and he could give us a little bit more of the insight on, like, who is really up there, who is like, yeah, this guy's really... This guy's got great work. See, you know, he could give us more of an inside view if he's willing to talk.
And we need to find out if Gunderson was up for promotion or if he was the second committee member.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're going back to my house. Mm-hmm. And I'm changing into some nice clothes.
Oh, yes, let me go get, I'm going to go get my nice suit, my good suit.
And I'm wearing what I would wear to see Tosca at the Met.
Yes.
Right, you have the top hat and tails. And I'm getting some paper, mm-hmm. And I have one bottle of the imported vodka.
Mm-hmm.
The good stuff from southern Russia. And I'm wrapping it up as a gift. And we're going to see Mr. Dare.
Okay. Getting an appointment with Mr. Dare is easy, as with your last exploits, you have a direct number to him, so you get to bypass the secretary. And Joshua is happy to see you. He actually gives you an address where he'll be dining tonight. He's got a private booth and invites you along and your companions to dine with him.
Not a problem.
It is not. It is not Pasternak's.
Okay.
It's not on the damn blimp?
It is not on the blimp. Yes.
Thank God.
So we arrived. We arrived to dinner.
Well, yeah, it's going to be at Alejandro's. That's like the hot spot. And he has a private booth overlooking the rest of the floor.
Does this have chicks and cages?
Been here before.
Alejandro's is very, very upper class. Very, it's one of the finest dining places in Medipal.
If I wasn't chicks doing business.
He said it was hot. I don't know.
Well, you mean like Bert? Why would there be birds and Kate? I guess that's kind of a design thing.
If it wasn't for the fact that I was going on business, I'd have invited that girl who has no name.
That you can never remember.
Actually, we never decided on a name.
Mm-hmm.
If we decided on a name, I already knew how I know it by doing an accidental social faux pas when introducing myself when I went to Alejandro's last time.
But you were met there. Mr. Dare does have his two men that accompany him everywhere, basically his heavies that protect him. But they pull down the rope that's keeping the rest of the public away from the nicer balcony seatings, and you're brought in. He has his own waiter there. It's all ready to take your orders as you sit down. Joshua's just in his casual evening wear at this point. He's letting the hair down hours. He's unwinding. He's got his tie down a bit. He's already started eating by the time you get there. But it's like, please sit down. He stands up, takes Drina's hand. Yes.
I give him, but here's a bottle of the Minsk Kristall. Fedor bought it for me when he went back home to see his parents the other day.
Oh, of course. Here, we'll put this on ice and get some glasses.
Is that the stuff from Southern Russia or Northern Russia? Or Belarus, I mean.
Yes, it is. It's the oldest brand of vodka they make, to the appointment of the czars, apparently. So I take Joshua by the hand and we sit down. This is Dr. Wraithbone.
Mr. Bishop. I remember you well, Mr. Wraithbone and Dr. Wraithbone, I understand.
Pleasure to meet you
as well.
Yes.
Likewise.
He waits as he gives you time to order, and when the waiter goes away, he sends his toffs away as well. He says, I expect that you have some questions for me that it's probably best not to be overheard.
Mm-hmm. Like you are.
He wipes his hands and face from his meal, and Drina, what do you have? Well, what would you have of me?
First, I do want to remind you out there, there is that business proposition I brought up earlier. We still need to talk about that. But first, I'm afraid it's a more unpleasant, immediate thing. We need, we're looking into the fate of Mr. Marx, Mr. Enos Marx.
Hmm. Name doesn't ring a bell. Is he one of mine?
Yes, he is a master in your guild. Fairly reclusive man, just like a lot of these inventors are. He's been working on a more efficient engine design, apparently something meant for another line of biplanes.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm afraid, he looks blankly for a moment. He says, no, I'm afraid that I don't know the name, but in what context do you want to know about him? Perhaps perhaps I can help you there. I'm at a loss.
Well, I suppose you don't know who he was, then. There's no need for me to ask you, if anyone might have had some sort of conflict with him in the guild, or whether or not he was part of any of the processes, like any of the votes that the guilded membership had before it in the recent past?
I just attended a guild meeting this past week, which I'm sure you're aware that the guilds have had their semi-annual status renewal. I actually presided over this case. It is possible that your man is the third, of which we are bound to not recognize. I myself and Mr. Norris, these are the two of us were there. We voted in the affirmative. The third did not. I believe it was Mr. Gunderson, who was up for review. He writes down the name that you gave him, though, the Mr. Marx's name, and he calls one of his men over, short conversation with him. I will have information on this man for you directly. Let us enjoy our meal, and perhaps by the end I will know something more.
Mm-hmm. How old is Joshua?
Joshua's in his early 30s. Or a well-kept 40.
Yeah, much too old for my third daughter. Okay.
Nobody that rich is ever too old for your third daughter.
Quiet, you.
Doesn't look like any. Well, that's surprising. I just looked at people online, and apparently none of them have shown up.
Mm-hmm. As your meal progresses, he throws out a few more tidbits. He remembers that Mr. Gunderson or Simon, he knows Simon fairly well, actually. He was a bit surprised that he was passed over for review, but he seemed to take it well. He remembers him saying, actually, that that next year will be his year. He didn't seem, other than just the look of surprise that he wasn't accepted, he did not seem to take it hard.
What is, I know you can't disclose everything, but do you know generally what Mr. Gunderson's been working on?
I believe the transportation department, currently there's a race to find a better, engine for our biplanes and perhaps a better type of wing assembly. As you know, we've had a problem with Sky Pirates lately, and they seem to be coming up with much faster, much more maneuverable craft than we have access to. And, I'm afraid that we're losing that arms race, and we have put the bug into the ear of our engineers that we're not pleased with this. And I do believe that is what most of our engineers are working on these days.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Hopefully it will take fruit. And you'll take care of all those nasty sky pirates.
It is getting much worse. We've lost many more Zeppelins in the past month.
They're such a bother. Those sky pirates.
You don't have the first-hand knowledge we do. And I just smile at him like I know something.
It's a flashback for you, like, urinating in your pants as you're out on the wing of a plane in the middle of the air.
Ripping the wing.
Well, I just meant that as an obnoxious, like, I don't know anything about it, but, you know. Like
yeah,
I don't
I'm just thinking obnoxious as in, yeah, I've been on the freaking wing of an airplane, ripping the wing, hoping a guy doesn't taser me.
The meal is excellent, whatever you order. It's you don't often get food of this good of fare. Even Mr. Wraithbone, doctor, is not often given the pleasure of food this good.
Yes, I enjoyed my liver with Chianti and fava beans.
Fresh, so fresh. Before your dessert is finished, his man does come back and hands him out a mimeograph copy of some notes. And he gives it a cursory read and hands it over to you, Drina.
Okay. Give me what?
Basically, it's a early form of Xeroxing. It's, you know, it's blue ink.
It's the purple paper. Yeah.
I misunderstood. Yeah, I got you. I hear you.
Your hands get all purple after you print up a bunch of stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. Here, this is what we have available on this man that you asked. It looks like he, 2 years ago, was the second on a board of review, and he voted in the negative for, let's see, a Mr. Harris, a George Harris, who has since made his master's marks, and he has now been accepted into the higher status.
All right.
Do you believe this Mr. Gunderson needs some looking into? What, have you come to a decision on this little problem we've had?
I have a plan.
No, we haven't come to a actual decision yet. We wouldn't want to smear the man's name until we have actual evidence, it is totally possible that his involvement in this is a mere coincidence.
Yes. But if a little investigation could be done, just to look into him, it would be nice, but that's just me asking.
Sure, there are certain things that we have privy to, and of course you, as appointed officials, are cleared for this. I can dig up more. It will take some time, of course, another day or two perhaps, but I will have those to you. Should I send them down to the precinct, or would you like them directly?
Oh, directly, please.
Dessert is equally as wonderful, and then there are cocktails and after-dinner beverages as well.
Not a problem. I don't have anything else. So unless there's something specific, we can go on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the way back, I want to discuss my plan about how to spring the trap on good Mr. Gunderson.
Yes. No problem. Yes. Tell us your elaborate plan, your overly elaborate plan.
Each more devious than the last.
Well, Mr. Gunderson obviously would want his glasses back, since they would attach him to the body. And perhaps we could arrange to return him the glasses, him perhaps not knowing that they've been ground up or destroyed, or at least as a lure to draw him to the factory floor, perhaps with the being let in by your friend, the security guard. And perhaps Drina could have Mr. Dare arrange to hear our little conversation, and therefore he would admit directly to his involvement.
All right, so.
I do have his tell. I can call a secretary. I mean, if you put the bait out there, he's gonna bite at it. If he killed, he's gonna come after me.
Yes, you.
Me.
So
I see.
So therefore, we get him to admit to his. I may be devious, but we get him to admit to his devious plan.
Okay.
You admit that it was devious, so it must be devious for a devious man to admit that it was a devious plot.
Exactly, and I don't know which gloss has the curare in it, so I'm immune to it, so I'll drink them both.
What?
You never saw The Princess Bride?
Yes, but yes. That was confusing with the way you said it.
Well, never mind. He was immune to the curare, but
anyway. I know.
Yeah, so you're saying, so you're going to tell him to meet you somewhere.
At the factory floor.
Yes.
And I'm going to go get the frames and have the lenses installed, and I'm going to call the secretary and tell him I have the glasses. And
right.
And because he knows that his glasses attach him to the crime, he's going to come, and like all good villains, he's going to spill the beans, since he thinks he's going to kill me and nobody will ever know. Well, meanwhile, we've arranged by some means for Mr. Dare, either through the telephonesis or some other method, to hear the story.
Right. All good villains. You've never read that Evil Overlord list, have you? That joke by that one group of people, have you?
No, I haven't.
Quiet now. All right. I'm willing to try this.
Yes.
I don't think we can... I don't think we could set up some sort of...
We could set
device
up some...
that would allow other people to listen in on this.
We do. We already have one. Remember the leg?
Ah, yes.
We could give him the leg.
The leg. but the doctor, Dr. Miles Cordell Wraithbone,
the fourth.
Doesn't have, right, Miles Cordell Wraithbone, the 69th, doesn't have a leg to be replaced.
True. Dr. Wraithbone, you could do some surgery. We could replace your leg with one that's better, stronger, and has recording equipment in it.
Where are you guys headed while you're discussing things?
By default, I'm headed back to my place, so...
Okay. As you were discussing, and you pull up to your place, you notice that there is a young page waiting respectfully at your door. Some of your children have the door open or just kind of talking to him through it, but apparently he's chosen to stand outside with his package.
Wow, that was
quick. The page boy. I go over to the page boy and say hello.
Ma'am, are you Drina Erbauer?
That's me.
Package? I was told to give it to you directly.
No problem. I take the package and tip him.
Yeah, he has you sign for it?
Are you sure you don't want to come in? You know, have some hot chocolate, maybe?
Well, now that I've given you the package, I'd love to. I was told that I had to give it to you personally.
Not a problem. I make sure the kids feed the boy. Because these page boys, they never feed them.
They're always
good woman.
They're always scrawny. The ribs poking out.
They're good them woman, furtive and fast and shifty.
You're a good woman, Drina.
So yes, I leave the kids to wreck my kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we go into the workshop. And what is in the parcel?
It is actually just confirmation from the guild medical team that the body is in fact Enos Marks. They were able to get enough teeth checked up with his dentist, and they were able to say yes, this is Enos.
Well, I think fact that he didn't.
They got 195 of the 800 jigsaw puzzle pieces of his body.
There is a note saying that they have not released this information, though, until pending your investigation.
I see. Well, we could say that he's not dead.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of this. I'm a big fan of saying, we could say he's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Except that it would be pretty obvious to whoever shoved him in the machine that he was.
I concocted something, but it would be very elaborate.
More complicated than his plot, I point at. Dr. Ray.
We would have to say, A, he's not dead, and B, somehow provide some sort of doppelganger.
I look at Wraithbone and go, he's a very good person. He had such a good disguise, he fooled you.
He disguised himself as a duck hunter. That's not a very good disguise.
Yes, but he fooled you into not thinking he was Wraithbone. Think what he could do by disguising himself as someone else.
Oh.
Let's, while you decide what your next step is, let's take a 5-minute bio break. All right. Back in 5.
Are we continuing our conversation or not?
You guys can continue if you want. I need to use the restroom.
I thought I was wondering about them.
Sure. Or what are you suggesting we do here?
I don't know if either plan will work, but I'm thinking that the doppelganger idea probably is a longer shot than the I've got your glasses, I'll be quiet if you pay me off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm willing to go with that. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I could get some type of like wire or something that could, you know, broadcast, or do you want the recording type? Because I know a guy who can do either.
I mean, ideally couldn't we just get some big guys around to just hang out and hide them. We'll just listen in while we doctor gets our suspect to confess or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have witnesses, and then we'll just drop on him like a ton of bricks and arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have any problem with the, you know, like having people remotely listen in idea, but, you know, we still need people there to apprehend him safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm guessing when he arrives to pay his blackmailer, he will probably be armed. because I would be. Okay, I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Anybody back?
Yeah, I'm back. They should be back shortly.
All right, very good. How am I doing? I haven't done this in years.
Oh, you're doing just fine.
Oh, good.
Oh, now that you're actually here, Brian, number 7 of the Evil Overlord list. When I've captured my adversary and he says, look, before you kill me, will you at least tell me what this is all about? I'll say no and shoot him. No, on second thought, I'll shoot him, then say no.
Well, I don't know if this gentleman's read the Evil Overlord list. Oh, I haven't gotten around to reading that. I spend most of my time playing WoW.
You should actually read the Evil Overlord list and sub and all the additional ones. There's like,
oh, How to Succeed at Evil. That's a good book.
That's a good book.
Yes.
Audio book. It's good.
So, yeah, Brian hasn't done this in
forever.
Like nearly 20 years now.
I never was that good.
But no, you're doing fine. You're definitely playing the character that you've created.
I tried. I wanted him to be kind of foppish and a bit grandiose. Kind of like Watts, kind of like the real Dr. Watson in Sherlock Holmes. Although Dr. Watson never was really foppish, she was just a bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
That way you never know when I'm acting and when it's real.
So do you enjoy this kind of entertainment, Brian?
It is. It's fun. Yep. I wish I could get one of my other colleagues to join in. He played a lot of role-playing when he was in residency at Tulane in New Orleans. He apparently went to some all-night D&D shop and played various different kinds of role-playing.
You can get a hold of him and get the address. We will definitely have a rotating cast of players. We had two players that didn't show up tonight because of the holidays, I suppose. But we've got a fairly good list of players now.
Hello?
Hey. And I think we are all back.
Wait. Before we begin, rule number 130. All members of my Legions of Terror will have professionally tailored uniforms. If the hero knocks the soldier unconscious and steals the uniform, the poor fit will give him away.
What kind of evil overlord would spend that kind of money on that?
Well, they even give dental plans. That's how you keep them as your thralls.
Yes, you're going to have the one dental plan, zoom in on my face, to rule them all.
No one has read this thing. Nobody. Nobody.
What thing?
The Evil Overlord's
list.
Book of standard operating procedures and maxims or whatever
it is. I've only ever read the Evil Overlord list and sublock A and B, which gets it up there to like 238 plus an additional 21.
Okay.
So lots to remember. All right, so what is the plan?
Dr. Wraithbone, the 1942nd, is going to call our suspect, say that he has compromising information and proof, and he'll come to a certain place and time to drop off some money, blackmail money.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll seize him.
And we also want a nice recording of it, so I'm going to use my I Can Get It stunt and get a recorder.
Sounds good.
And shall I roll for my contacts to see how good of a recorder I can get?
No, with the stunt, what it does is once per game session, you can say, I have this item. And as long as it's not too over the top, then you have that item.
Okay. I figured it was more of along the lines of, I thought it was I can use my contacts instead of resources.
Oh, you're taking that one. Okay, yeah, you can do that if you want. That's fine. Go ahead and give that a roll.
Superb. 5.
Okay. So that will be the level of basically how good it is. You've got the loan of something that's very, very good.
I knows people.
It uses a strand of a high-content mental metal wire that it records using a new process of magnetics, and it can reproduce sound. And it is very small for its time. It only fits into the size of something like a lunchbox. It is compact and small.
We can put it in a case.
The future is now.
I know the people who are up and coming, you know, the independent people who have the ideas.
As a matter of fact, it's designed into a metal lunchbox.
You see, he was kind of hungry on his break, and he had such great conversations at lunch. So he got an idea. Man.
Yes, I'm sure that was the idea.
Yeah. So this is the plan?
Yeah, I guess I need to go back to the frame shop and get the frames.
Mm-hmm. And the lenses put in.
Well,
the lenses.
Yeah, I have the lenses, and we'll take them back there.
Now, shouldn't we get some, some muscle?
Mm-hmm. You can.
Yeah.
This is why you have the contacts with the police. If you think you need some bully boys, you call the precinct and have them send you a couple of cops.
But don't we want him to think he's in command first? Maybe have the bully boys on the slightly off to the side? You know, kind of hidden, if they can do that?
Yes, I was going to just have them in another room, and we would be looking through, like, I don't know. They make these devices indoors. They're called peoples, and we would be looking through one of these.
Mm-hmm. And wait for the signal.
From the factory floor layout, actually, they have like a manager's loft area that overlooks the entire floor. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to see from the floor anyone in there, but very easy for someone in there to see the entire floor. Exactly. So that's actually a very good mm-hmm. spot to do that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
That's where we'll be.
Mm-hmm. So you give Miss Blair, your handler, at the precinct a call?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and make sure she sends us guys, you know, that know how to be quiet and wait.
So you need some plain clothes men. Sure, they'll send a troop out. Give me about an hour to have the guys set up and in place. They'll be dressed up as street cleaners or lamplighters out on the street. Will that be close enough for you, or do you need people in the building?
Are we going to have people in the building? We actually have a place for them to be hidden with.
Okay, good enough. We'll arrange it. They'll be disguised as technicians then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me a little bit over an hour to arrange that, because I've got to get the guild permission to go in there as well. Give me an hour and a half and we'll have it ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, aren't we doing it tonight though, instead of like in an hour and a half? Because we want it to be night so that no one's there except for the guard who we're going to use.
Oh, that's fine. That's just the earliest that I can get people there and in place and
okay. Yeah, I'm talking
more inconspicuous.
Yeah. Yeah,
sounds good. Let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They do so. This is after meeting and dinner. Actually, it was more of a lunch, early dinner. It's about 5 in the afternoon. Place closes down about 8 o'clock at night. And you just have the one security guard there. So when do you want to call, and what time do you want to set it up for?
Well, how long will it take to get the lenses put into the frames?
Oh, they're very simple. I mean, you know, not even a few minutes.
Okay. Well, once I have the frames, then I'll make the call.
Sure. I mean, you can have them deliver the frames to you. They're very personalized service for everything. That's no big deal for them to bring you out the frames.
but perhaps I'd want to get, but perhaps if the lens people are already on to me, then perhaps I'd want to pick up the frames personally so that they don't get intercepted.
Up to you.
I want to go to the shop and get the frames personally.
Okay.
You go do that. Well,
maybe it'll take you about an hour to be able to do that and get back. Unless you have the drive skill, there's no reason for you to have a car. Most people don't.
I'm just going to take the subway. Yeah.
So it'll take a good hour for you to get there and back.
Okay.
And that goes down without a problem. Apparently, the frame manufacturer hadn't been warmed or anything. He does ask for the rest of the payment, though.
All right, pay him. I put down fare for resources, so.
Okay, in the meantime, back in Gina's house, anything particular going on? Your sons and daughters have taken the delivery person under their wing and fed him quite full and have made good friends.
Is he an orphan?
No, he's not an orphan.
That's fine. His belly's full. We can send him home now. I'll name him Simon.
Me ma says they can't feed me too much food, otherwise the tips will be poor. She says the thinner I look, the better people will pay me. Of course, she takes all my pay.
You really want me to adopt this kid, right?
How many kids have you raised, Drina? Why don't you make it a nice 9? A nice perfect square.
I don't know if raised is the right word. It's more like I've kept them caged until they were old enough to go out and hunt on their own. No, I'm not adopting Simon. But he can come back anytime he likes.
Sounds good. If you don't have anything else going on, you guys will just meet back in a little bit over an hour.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess it's time to make the phone call then.
Do you want to set it up for around 9 so that puts a little in? We'll tell the security guard. Actually, we don't probably need to tell the security guard anything because he won't notice and the other guy will have the keys to get in, since he is a master.
Right.
And the security guard won't notice anything.
Right. Okay.
All right. You make the call. Doctor?
Am I talking to the secretary or the man?
The phone is answered by the secretary at first. And how do you announce yourself? Hello, this is the Gunderson residence. How may I ask who's calling?
Yes, this is Dr. Miles Cordell Wraithbone IV, and I was calling again to make contact with Mr. Gunderson. I did manage to retrace his steps last night and find the package, and not to go out of his way, I could meet him tonight if he's not available immediately.
You hear in the background of the phone a conversation between the secretary and you imagine Gunderson. You hear, is it him? Is he called back? Here. Take the night off. Give me the phone. You hear the sound of some things clattering around on the desk and a door closing. This is Simon. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Simon. This is Miles. And how are you this evening?
Get to the chase. What do you want?
I have a certain article of yours that has come into my possession that might put you in a very unbalanced position with your guild, so to say. I happen to know from first-hand knowledge that a couple of people in good with Mr. Dare are perhaps shadowing you, and if this item fell into their possession, they could use it against you, and you may never see your promotion come through.
What do you want?
Oh, I don't know. I'm picturing something with a lot of zeros and a number in front of it.
I'm a wealthy man. That can be arranged. Where shall we meet?
Since my dim-witted colleagues are possibly shadowing you, let us meet tonight at your factory. Nobody would ever suspect a master of going to his own workshop.
My factory? I will assume you know where it is and have a way in yourself?
What, that dimwit guard at the front? He's no problem for me.
Very well. What time shall we meet?
Let us say, oh, I don't know, perhaps 9.
Very well. I'm hoping you are the sort of blackmailer that stays paid off. He slams the phone down.
And I laugh.
Adrina, your children are backing away from the doctor.
Get the fuck out of here right now. Seriously, no, seriously, get out.
I think that was in the Overlord list also.
No, less laughing, more getting out.
All right, fine. Come on. I'll come on, doctor. I'll see you at the factory tonight.
Goodbye, I'm gonna change out of the good clothes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home, change out of the good clothes, get into the regular clothes.
And I'm going to change into my, like, evening attire with my cane, which has the sword in it. You know, with, you know, like Sherlock Holmes would wear when he goes out on the streets of London?
There you go.
There, that's how I want it to look.
Okay. Well, you guys make your preparations. I assume you want to get there earlier?
Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you pull up. The night guard is on duty when you come up to the doors and knock on it. He remembers you, Daniel. He kind of peers at you and puts his glasses back on, wipes them off. Oh, yeah, yeah. I did my hour.
Good job. Good job. Can you let us in, please?
Sure, sure. Here, sign this clipboard. Let's just make sure it's all official. You know, I got to dot those I's and cross those T's.
I'm going to give him
want anyone feeling that I'm not doing a good job here.
I'm going to hand him a 5 and say, don't worry about it. We've arranged it with the guild.
He's already heading to the snack machine. in your absence, and apparently over the course of the day, they have cleaned up the sign. All the caution tapes are down. All the police location tapes are down. And they've cleaned all the blood off the floor and the gears. The machine is still off, however.
And don't forget your lunchbox, Mr. Wraithbone. Dr. Wraithbone.
Yes, thank you.
The 21st.
All right, so I'm going to set the lunchbox nearby, but somewhere inconspicuous, like some worker may have left it.
Okay. Hey, actually, you see a lunchbox that looks exactly the same on the bench right over there.
All right, so I'm going to set it next to it.
You get a little bit of hum feedback when you put the case down next to the other case.
It's the same thing. Is the other lunchbox another recorder?
Yes, I'm going to look at this lunchbox.
Beneath the ham sandwich, you find a recording device.
The plot thickens.
So, it is not of as good of a quality as the one that you're bringing in. Of course, it's this inferior one that's causing all the feedback.
Right. So let's go out of earshot of the recording device and discuss who's what this could be.
There's not a lot of conjecture about it. As the security guard comes back through, he tells you that the guild's left it just in case, you know. Perpetrator of the crime always coming back to visit the location afterwards, that sort of thing, you know. They told me.
All right, fine.
We'll move that one to another area because ours, it's interfering with our good one.
Yes.
He looks at the box and says, you going to eat that ham sandwich?
Sure, you can have it. Take it. Take the lunch box.
He takes the ham sandwich and happily goes off to his office. All right, what's your setup?
I'm just going to... you guys are the ones setting up the ambush. I'm just going to stand there and...
What's the signal? Because I don't think we can... I don't know what...
You may not be able to hear it.
You pat your head 3 times and say, oh, what a lovely tea party.
He's gonna.
Then you put your hand on your hip like you're a teapot, and like lean over and just bend over.
Why don't I just do the time warp?
No, because it might just look like you're trying to straighten your pants or something.
That's it. I'm going to straighten my pants. You struck upon it, man.
No. Take off your hat.
Take off my hat and tip it to him when he hands me when I get the information.
Okay, fine.
And the money.
Take off your hat and tip it. Yes.
Okay, let's go up to the roof. In the
observatory area. You do have just a wonderful view of the whole factory floor. It's apparently this two-way kind of glass. Not one-way kind of glass. It's not really. It's just that the outside seems much darker than it is from the inside. So it's much harder to see anyone in here from the outside, but easier the other way. The other thing you find is that there's a bullhorn, so like a public address or announcement system. So you can be heard from the floor, but there's no way to monitor sounds on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, once you close the door in the room, the sounds of the factory mechanisms are completely muffled. The room is very silent and very quiet.
Just as I thought.
Okay.
All right. So
we can
do your setup and, about an hour later or so, front door opens. Security guard seems to be on his toes, and goes and greets the person at the door. You hear a small argument where the man is refusing to sign the log, and the security guard just simply says, "Of course, sir."
Is it 9 o'clock exactly?
It is.
Is the guy in front of me now, is he within?
Yes, he walks onto the factory floor and sees you there. He approaches you.
Ah, Simon, it's so good to see that you're a man of your prompt word.
The blackmailer, I suppose. You know, I've paid a good penny already. How much are you asking for?
Oh, I don't know. 100,000.
He will a banknote do? I am a man of honor. I have cash if you're that pedestrian.
Oh, I do so enjoy walking. Cash and carry is the best way to be. But tell me, Simon, I have to say, you strike me as a man who would do this more than simple vengeance for a vote.
Vengeance? What? He kind of looks around at the factory floor. What are you talking about? Why are we meeting here?
What do you mean, why are we meeting here? You should know why we're meeting here. I held out his glasses.
Yes, my glasses that unfortunately left at Enos's house when I made that unfortunate bargain with him that he did not carry through.
With pirates, mayhap?
Pirates? He kind of looks at, are you daft, man? As you fumble for words, he tries to see through your subterfuge, and he apparently is not too fast on the uptake himself.
Sorry.
Get it out, man. What have you have to say? I have your money here. He tactfully skims off a few bills in the case that he brought. It looks like he brought a lot more than the 100,000, but he skims off the 100,000 and lays it on the floor between you. He kind of just dumps it down.
Well, of course.
This will buy your silence.
It'll buy my silence about this, the murder, but not about the murder. Pirates.
He looks kind of shocked. Murder? What murder? Who murdered?
You're afraid for it. Your friend's been murdered, of course.
Enos,
yes. A very bad end. I'm afraid he went to pieces.
He actually looks kind of shocked. He's gone a little pale. A lot pale. And he finds a bench near him and he just kind of sits down on it. He takes his hat off his head and is just kind of running it between his palms. When did he die?
Why, you should know that. You're the one who shoved him into the...
When did he die, man?
This morning at noon. I mean, at midnight.
That's impossible. That's simply not possible. They were, at that time, they were voting on my future career. He could not have died at that time.
The man's dead. I checked him myself.
He kind of gets control of himself, puts his hat back on. I see. I see that I am stand accused of something far more sinister than what I actually am guilty of.
Well, what is it you are guilty of then, sir? If not murder, which is what you're going to go down on and swing from the gallows.
You paint a grim picture, my friend. No, he kind of has this distasteful look on his face. He says, I paid Enos off. I paid for his vote. I was sure of Joshua. Joshua knows my work. He knows that I'm ready. The other master, I knew him. He was a friend of mine. We had vacationed. And I found out, well, okay, I didn't find out. I paid the men who run the engines that did the random assortment for the third member of the committee. I paid him to make sure that Enos was the one who got the short straw, as it were. And I knew Enos needed money to bring his wife and children here to Metapol. I knew that he would be amenable to my bribes. But that's all I'm guilty of. I didn't murder him.
Well, if you did,
I had no need. I had paid for his vote.
Apparently someone must have paid higher, for he voted against you.
Well, if you say, doctor, that he died at this time, that it's simply not possible. The vote was happening at that time. How could he be dead here and vote at the same time?
Well, perhaps your friend who you paid to pay off was paid off more. And who would have done that?
You have a truly dizzying intellect.
Wait for it.
So again, I say that you're just trying to elude the charge of murder, sir. And your collusion with pirates.
He just seems to be at a loss for words. He babbles for a bit incoherently. And good day, sir.
Wait for it.
Turns on his heel and he starts walking away from you.
Then I suppose all this shall go to the district attorney's office or whatever they have, whatever the equivalent is.
Fine, if you are the kind of blackmailer that will take money and still turn a man in, then there it is. I'm sure that in a jury of my peers, I will be found guiltless. I have people that will account for where I was during this time. I could not have murdered this man.
Well, then tell me, who would have murdered this man?
I don't know. I didn't know Enos that well. Just well enough to know that he was in financial straits and he would take my bribe.
With whom?
Well, as I said, he's trying to get his wife and children here. It's costly. If you wish to send the constabulary after me, then do so. I am finished with you. He walks to the door. They're slamming. He opens the door and shoves his head back inside. And I have nothing to do with pirates!
Yes, I pull the... I let the dogs loose.
Yes, go. Yes. This is going to be a fun course.
When the local police spring from their hiding as winos and bums and rush him. At first, he actually thinks he's just, you know, being tossed. But they have him in custody.
Okay, so what'd you get from him?
Miss Blair is out there doing the actual arrest, and she comes in and says, is he our man? Do you have it on tape?
We have it on tape, and I blah, let him.
But you never tipped your friggin' hat.
You!
I felt he was on the cusp of confessing.
I look at Miss Blair.
When he stormed out the door and slammed it behind him, he thought he was going to confess.
You hear screaming from the outside, I don't have anything to do with pirates!
Pirates? What did that have to do? Miss Blair, how did he get hired? do you check the mental stability of the people you hire, Miss Blair?
I'm afraid that the, list does not include a psychiatric check.
I signed off on
and Dr. Wraithbone here has impeccable credentials otherwise.
One of the best.
Kind of looks at the floor, shifty dog eyes.
Yes, he is a doctor. I understand.
Fool, do you not understand that one of the best ways to get somebody to confess to something they've done is to accuse them of something they haven't? We did this during the war all of the time.
He was going to run away, though.
Well, yeah, but he didn't really.
He was already out the door.
But he hadn't confessed to anything.
Pirates! 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 I think he's going to need some mental help. But, okay, we got him guilty for bribery. That's one thing. But now this leads the question of who was the third and who was the man who met Ellis? Yeah.
Fine. Next time you do the talking.
Enos.
Enos, yes.
Yeah. We need to figure out who met Enos and who was, even though we won't be able to know, who was the third.
Everybody give me alertness rolls.
by one.
Okay. You hear from the outside, the sound of like heavy machinery right outside of the factory. You just kind of turn around since there's glass, it's a glass wall on the front so you can see the streets. There's a large street cleaning machine, going right past the building and you note the time.
Which is midnight?
No, you were going to meet the guy here at like a little bit after 9, right?
Right, correct.
So it's about 10 o'clock.
I'm not sure what this means.
Well, we figured out the connection between the two. We figured out that is it possible that Enos may have been turning him in? Meeting with someone to turn him in and that person wanted to then blackmail him? Or, because he's guilty of bribery and he tried to create a plot where he would guarantee him to win it.
But is bribing a guild official an actual crime?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Especially for something like that, where he also tried to set it up.
Well, right. Well, I didn't know if it was against guild bylaws or against actual government crime. That was the question.
There is no government crime.
But it is against the guild's bylaws. So, yeah, he is guilty of that.
Okay. So that's why I didn't understand I had gotten a crime, because I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got him admit to something that is a crime, not the crime.
Just not the crime.
Yeah, which was, I found part of your interrogation ingenious, part of it's clear, what the hell. I think that this interrogation tape should be studied for years to come on what to do, and what definitely, definitely not to do.
Oh, I'm the expert here. Just shut it.
That's why you're such an expert. It must be studied. Yes.
So Ms. Fredericks is waiting on an answer. It's like, so, this is the guy. What do you want us to do?
He's guilty of something, but not the thing.
Unfortunately. Okay.
We have it for bribery.
But in trying to fix the guild won't be happy that he tried to fix the third person for his master promotion. Yep. And the fact that he bribed someone that he thought was the third person.
And remember, as far as you guys are concerned, you're going to get a paycheck because you have solved a crime. Not the crime you were hired here to look at, but you did solve one. Brian, you missed the last sessions, and if you hadn't listened to it, that's where it was explained what your actual role is. You're contract workers, and you're paid on a case-per-case basis.
Okay.
We've solved one case, so... I don't think we have any information to go on the other case, do you?
No, other than that. Other than your friend Dare lied to us. Because Dare said he was the third guy.
No, Dare said he didn't know who the third guy was.
No one knows who the third guy is, except for the people who selected the third guy. That's the only follow-up we should probably do is... That would be to investigate that, is to see, talk to the people who may have gotten paid to fix it. Maybe do a little of investigation on that, but that's all I can come up with.
Yeah, I don't have any really good ideas like that. But...
And the only other thing to do would be to check the gutter because the sweet sweepers went by, but that's just odd. I don't know why the sweet streeper has to do with this.
Yeah, while you're talking, you still hear the vehicle out there. Apparently, it's not just a quick, down the street and back or anything.
I go out to the street sweeper guy.
Yeah.
It's a very large steam ran truck, not electric like most of the cars are in this area, probably because it needs more power. It's got these huge bristles that roll underneath it. It's got three sets on each side and just kind of grinding the street smooth in the area. And then you hear like a suction pump going off that's kind of pulling in all the garbage and refuse. And it's going really slow. I mean, just a few feet.
I try to wave him down. I try to wave him down, wave the driver down to get his attention, so that I can talk to him.
You're standing in front of the truck. Is it?
No. Yeah, I'm standing at a time.
You feel at any, half hour you might be trampled under.
I still turn on my side and go, no!
The guy hangs his head out of the control booth and says, what do you want?
Were you here? Or did you see anyone go in this factory last night around midnight? See anything?
He's got a co-pilot that kind of takes hold of the wheel and he jumps out of the cab so he can hear you better. What was that?
Did you see anything suspicious last night around midnight around here?
Oh, we're here every night around this time. What do you mean by suspicious?
I mean, did you see anyone go into the factory or leave or pick up anything weird with the street sweeper?
He kind of smiles and scratches his chin. Well, my memory isn't so good when I don't get a proper booze on. And it's been a few days. It's kind of expensive to drink around here.
Yeah, okay. Is money good enough?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Hey, here's some money.
I gotta go AFK real quick. Be right back. Good.
Is this enough money? Here, how about 25?
He takes it. Yeah, sure. Around 10 o'clock last night. I mean, this place is usually pretty slow. Every once in a while, one of them masters comes by and checks in on their pet projects. It doesn't happen very often, though. But last night, there's a guy over there. He points at a telephone booth across from the center, from the factory.
At this point in the podcast, we suffered some technical difficulties and lost about 5 to 10 minutes of gameplay. We continue now.
Was talking to Enos outside after he phoned him around 10 o'clock at a phone booth. He hung around there. Enos came rushing over, and the guy kind of went and talked to Enos, went inside, and then Enos, well, the street sweeper driver didn't see anything else because they went inside, and he went to the end of the block after that.
That's all even taller, man.
Yes, that takes care of Gunderson and the mysterious man we've been trying to get.
If you look towards where the phone booth is, you can actually see why the description is so bad. The lights right around the phone booth are either out or dead. So it's just like it's just a pool of dark right around the phone booth.
Right. What about, wait a minute, Joshua isn't a taller guy, is he?
No, he's not. He's about the same height, but the street sweeper seems to think the other guy was much taller than Enos was.
Right. Okay. I don't know.
It could... this could be about something completely different. It could be... I don't know. Oh, well, since everyone's working on the engine, I would say that it may have been another engineer. But there are plenty of those since they're pushing towards it. Who was the last one to use the wind tunnel before him? That would be a good question. Go check the logs since we still have the building open to us.
Sure, okay. I do that. I go to the aerodynamics lab.
Okay. There's no one here to help you go through the records, but you're able to do it all right. Just give me a repair roll there to kind of know your way around the setup.
Somebody click the button for me.
Mm-hmm. Plus one.
That would make it great roll.
All right, good enough. It's pretty well laid out. Looks like the last tests that were run in here were not actually to test the wing. The wing was being used because they were trying a new coolant, something to keep the wings from frosting over at higher altitudes.
Okay.
And there isn't a master's name put to it, but there are names of apprentice. Actually, there's a couple of journeymen that were down for the study. And give me an investigation roll.
Hold on. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good then.
Okay, and with that, you're able to find out the journeymen actually do work for specific masters more often than not, and these have worked for George Harris recently and frequently, and you have heard that name before tonight.
Yes, that's who he was paying off. Who he was?
No,
that's who. Oh, who was Harris? I heard it.
Harris was the one that was denied master status 2 years ago when
Enos
was on the council.
Yes. So it was a grudge that. So it was a grudge that went on. Wow. That's a long time to keep a grudge. Well, dish best served cold.
So, I guess trying to figure out where this Harris cat is now.
Yeah.
It's easy enough. I mean, you can call Joshua or anyone on the council to get his actual address, but you still have to come up with some kind of proof
right. That
he's done something, if this is the guy.
Mm-hmm. Shall we come up with an overly long blackmail attempt again? have a question. Who works with the sorting of the choosing of people?
Actually, it has nothing to do with any of the guilds. There is basically one analytical engine in the city. It's ran ostensibly by power, but they have coders or engine workers that are the ones that feed all the code into the machines. And they're the ones that spit out the random person and then mail that person basically the summons. Mm-hmm. So that way, the council doesn't know. It's completely blind to them who that third person is.
Mm-hmm.
They even have it set up so that third person's voting booth has an outside, you know, entrance exit that you in no window, so no one can see him come or go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're gonna. And I'm pretty beat. My brain's kind of fried here.
My brain's starting to go, and I can't figure. And I'm not even that late. I'm just trying to figure this out. Like, where do we go from here?
It's up to you guys. There's, you know, there
we
you have.
We could just in game call it a night, meet in the morning, and talk to get some information on him. Just do some general investigating into Harris, mm-hmm. see what he's been doing, see how it might cross over with. What type of man Harris is, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to leave up to however much you guys want to dig, but there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, well, you know, this one's going to just be unsolved. We made some money tonight. That's
fine. No. We get paid per solved. Mm-hmm. If we solve an extra one, that's more money.
All right. So you guys turn in for the night, and in the morning you want to dig up some things on Harris?
Yes.
Well, what you figure out is that, yes, 2 years ago he was denied his status, but the next year he got it. So he has been Meister level for 2 years now, and he was working, as you found out from the logs, he was working on a new kind of antifreeze system to keep the wings from icing over at higher altitudes. So that's how he was plugged into the project. He was not working on any kind of new engine, wing, or anything else. That was his whole project, was just the antifreeze.
I see the advantage, but...
Yeah, he was going into the project, well, if we can get our planes to be able to travel at a higher altitude, then they cannot be shot at as often, and we can deliver our payloads that much more risk-free.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, I got nothing.
You are able to get an interview with George if you'd like. He actually, you know, he's kind of tipped off that people have been asking about him, but he's made himself fully, you know, hey, if you want to ask me some questions.
Shall we just ask him some questions, you know, the stupid ones, and just... get it over with and ask, you know, where were you 2 nights ago at midnight?
Okay, sure. We'll go and meet him.
Yeah, just talk to him.
Okay. Depending on how you want to do it, either give me rapport checks or give me deception checks, whatever you choose to roll on during this social conflict to see what you can find out. Also give me investigation rolls on top of whatever else you choose.
Okay, that's a superb for rapport and a superb for investigation.
Yeah, okay.
That's good for rapport and just the average for investigation.
Okay. I'm just going to shorten it since it seems like everyone's getting a little tired there. But George is an expert politician. He has a reply to every one of your questions with another question. He's very disarming. He smiles a lot, and you want to like him.
Even with my superbs?
Yes. Yeah. He has a 4, and I rolled a 2 on the fudge die. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, 6 overall.
No, always want to complete my end of a deal. I'm spending a +2, baby. I want to be on my rapport.
Okay, well, that will get you just enough. that you can see that it is all a charming lie. This man is a master politician. He knows how to spin a story to make him look like either the person being maligned or the hero. He explains that, yes, he was a little sore about being turned down, but it wasn't until just this last year that he even found out that Enos was the person who voted negative on him, and by that time he'd already become a master or a meister and level above, and had no reason to hold a grudge. I mean, after all, he had what he wanted. Mm-hmm. Okay, now with the investigation role, though, both of you notice in his apartment, he has a laboratory as well, as most masters do, as they do a lot of their designing in secret in their own private places. But there is a very sharp, acrid smell in the air. It's very distinct, and it seems to permeate everything in this house. Well, if you ask, he says, well, this is unfortunately the byproduct of his experiment that he's been working on. It produces a very pungent smell. He's working on reducing that, and it tends to cling to things.
Mm-hmm.
Do we recognize that smell from
the factory?
The factory would be difficult because there is a lot of smells, and you know, I described the heavy kind of smell of oil in the air. It would be drowned out by other smells in that factory. Okay. Not to mention that he had been testing in that factory, so
yeah. Is he taller than Enos?
Yes. Much taller? Yes, he is much taller. He's at least a foot taller.
Dumb didn't smell anything when he was playing with the clubs.
Drina's charmed, by the way. Drina thinks he's an okay kind of guy.
I know that there's something I'm not putting together here, but
where's Sherlock Holmes when you need him? I want the extra bonus.
Well, he stands through your questioning, remains chipper the whole time, and you come to the end of your line of questioning. He invites you back for drinks sometime and sees you. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, the smell, is it like, is something like metallic or, it's not like a food smell, like.
No, it smells very mechanical. It smells very sharp, almost like, an ether, although you don't feel, you don't feel that you're getting drowsy, or you don't feel like it's making you sick, but it has a very, very strong.
Does it seem to stick to him?
Not specifically, but I mean, it just, everything in the house kind of smells of it. You figure because it's been here for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you can smell it on his clothes.
So, have you ever seen Enos around, talked to him at all?
Well, of course. We work in the same facilities. We occasionally need to swap information. I mean, after all, I am developing this, and he's developing an engine. I mean, we need to be able to make sure that our works are compatible.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I got nothing.
Thank you for your time, sir. Shall we go, Drina?
He invites you back for cocktails at another time.
Especially, yes, another time. We may have more questions then.
Of course. Always happy to help.
All right.
We get outside and away ways. Okay, I think I know what happened.
Okay, so what happened?
By the way, don't believe that falsehood about him being a really nice guy. He's a very good politician, but that's not it. Okay, here's what happened. They were working on two things. Notice how he said that they were supposed to be working together. I think that Enos, for some reason, didn't like him for whatever reason. I don't know. Don't know the histories. But I think that his engine was going to supersede anything he did with the coolant, and he was refusing to work with him for the coolant. And because he had a better engine that could go faster and better, they would rather take the smaller, better engine than bother with the coolant to go higher.
Okay.
And I think that maybe they were discussing it, and he was actually calling him there to probably say, look, I've done something great and amazing. And then it's like they went in, he kind of, you know, showed it off and said, ha, 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 look at this. And then they kind of went out to the factory floor and were discussing on their way out. Enos was probably saying, right. No, I'm going to completely ignore your design, and I'm going to still continue with mine, and mine will be superior than yours, and yours will be ignored. And this kind of set him off that his work, his strong work, his good work was going to be ignored. And that's probably why he may have offed him.
Okay, so I understand the motive there. They had competing designs.
Yes, but I think we should... Because he just admitted that they were supposed to be talking together to make sure they work together. If we have a professional go through the notes at his house, maybe someone can put it all together and see whether he actually was making more of a design that worked with it or one that ignored it. But this is just wild cockamamie theory.
It's easy enough to follow up on. If you go back to the factory and you confer with the notes and you have access to the other masters, and they say, well, no, as a matter of fact, all of this was integral. The new wing, the new engine, along with the new antifreeze, it was all of it together was going to make a far superior plane.
Mm-hmm. Well, that takes care of that.
I'm just going to say we could call this one unsolved or, like, pick it up again next session.
Pick it up again. Because I want the bonus. I want more money. We get money based off the number solved. If we solve this.
No, that is true. Okay.
Hmm. And we can cut out Mr. Wraithbone from solving this one, possibly.
I'd rather not even be paid just to make sure he's not paid.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we're picking it up later. Because then he won't have his name on. We were doing some private investigation into it, and we were working together, me, you, and maybe some other person. And since he already said, I'm done, we've solved the case, I'm done. But I know we're missing, I know we're there, we're just missing the evidence. We've got somewhat of a motive, just revenge. Just, he probably got pissed at him or something together, discussing something, and then...
Okay.
What do I have... by the way, I go check out the clothes of that were on the body, you know, and see if they happen to have that strong acrid smell.
Not any more or less so than other things that you smell in that factory. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of there, but then he was also exposed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, in just the course of testing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going on with that angle, I mean, you'd have to find...
I'd have to find what?
I'm leaving that open. I don't want to just give you what's going on.
Damn it! Why do I have the feeling that...
have all the threads, just put it together.
I can tell you right now, Richard is listening and yelling at us, you already know the... No, I can't do a good British accent. You know the answer! You know the answer! Ah! And if Pete listens, he's like, oh, I figured this out 2 hours ago.
Yeah, but it's always easier to do it when you're listening than when you're playing.
Actually, no. Pete can just figure things out even before I do. So can Richard sometimes.
This is true.
I'm banging my head. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's perfectly fine if you want to either, say, mull it over and pick it up the next game for just a short intro before the next game, or you file it away in your unsolved cases.
I will not have an unsolved case. I always finish my end of a deal.
Right now, I got to stop.
Yeah, we'll pick it up next week or 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Hopefully, with the computer issues, we got most of the recording.
I think we got just about everything.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, I'm glad we had some people to play this week. Thanksgiving weekend, so we were down a couple of people, but
okay.
2 weeks. We'll see you guys.
All right. Have fun. Bye bye.
And that was episode 3 of Steam, Steel, and Murder. If you are interested in getting in on our game, find us on the web at obsidianportal.com and look for Steam, Steel, and Murder. The music was provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. I'd also like to give out a mention for the guys at the Gutter Skypes, who put on a great actual play role-playing podcast as well. You can find their podcast on iTunes and on the web at www.anim5/IDDFOS/TGS. Thanks for listening.